party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Yes. Yeah. Happy Thursday, everybody. Steve Austin Morning Party.
Yeah.
Steve-O, Mateo.
And a quick shout-out from Peter Benson.
Yeah, I was just about saying. Peter Benson. Glory days.
Yeah.
We live in those bad boys.
Panama!
Welcome to Thursday. We're excited you're here today.
Yeah, we are.
We have a great show. Yeah, really looking forward to it.
We got a special guest coming in this morning.
Yeah, dude. So, we know we'll have Michelle or Clay hanging out with us from Aspen Project and Project Zoe.
One and.
I'm really excited for Theology Thursday. Nathan Foster, he is an associate professor of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. He does social work and theology at Spring Arbor University, where he holds the Andrews Chair in Spiritual Formation, Director of Teaching Ministries for Renovare, as well as a licensed clinical social worker, certified addictions counselor, public speaker. He plays bass.
Does he?
In a band called Christy and the Professors.
Hey.
And he's written a few books, one of them being The Spiritual Disciplines for Regular People. Well, it's actually called The Making of an Ordinary Saint, but...
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
His journey from frustration to joy with the spiritual disciplines. His father, Richard J. Foster, wrote Celebration of Discipline in 1978. Yeah.
That guy.
Monster book.
Monster book.
He is son of Richard J. Foster.
That's nuts, man.
It's going to be interesting talking to him because I couldn't imagine growing up in that household where your dad is Richard J. Foster.
Richard J. Foster would have thought I was an idiot.
Hands down! Happy Thursday! So we're going to do that in the 9 o'clock hour. If you have any questions about the spiritual disciplines, maybe you don't know what they are. Maybe you don't know what the Christian disciplines are. We're going to get into those today. I'm really excited about that. Submission, meditation, fasting, prayer, celebration, actually.
Procrastination.
Yes, man, I'm so good at that.
I'm really good at that one.
So, it's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, coming up right now. We're going to go to the phone lines.
And yes, guys, it's Matthew from Albuquerque.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, guys?
Nothing.
Doug, I thought you said it was David Prowse, the guy from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Who played Darth Vader.
Theology Thursday, isn't it?
It is, buddy.
Nice. What time does that stuff start coming on?
It airs at 9 a.m.
9 o'clock every Thursday.
You know, it's too bad because I'm in IPC in my integrated physics and chemistry class.
Yeah. Mm.
Sometimes, if I'm doing notes, and my teacher will allow me, I can listen to this stuff on my laptop, actually.
Okay.
Hopefully, I'll be able to tune in, because it sounds like today is supposed to be a really good, you know.
Really good.
Really good one.
It's going to be really,
I tell you, though, guys, Converge really, the other day was actually pretty
really
quiet.
Good.
Was Converge quiet?
It was quiet. We didn't have that many members in there yesterday for some reason. It's quiet because the finals week is next week, and, you know, everyone's probably studying for their finals or EOC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's probably the reason why. And there's not very many people there, but Maya McEachin and Tori Elliott, they were there.
Shout out to them.
Shout out!
Yes, they are the best Converge leaders. But I cannot forget our awesome president from last year, Justin Pettis.
Justin has moved on.
I was talking to him on the phone. The guy's been really good. He was out in Air Force Basic training for a while, but now he's done.
He's probably
forgotten. I have a question for you, Matthew.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. That starts wrong.
Go ahead.
We were talking in the car this morning. About Christmas.
Listen.
All right.
And we were talking about what to get our significant others and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
We started talking Christmas lists. Have you written out a Christmas list?
I know I'm asking for an Xbox. I know that's one thing.
You're
that
asking for an Xbox.
My family, you know. Because
wow.
The majority guys of my family, we have Xboxes.
Yeah.
That way, at least if I can stay out of town, I can really take my Xbox with me, hook it up to the hotel room TV or TV wherever I am, and I can at least play with my family over the internet, you know.
Yeah. I thought that you were going to get a Google Glass.
I wish. That would be a cool thing to have, but I don't think they would allow that during a test in my school. They wouldn't. That would be
why
cheating.
Why would
that's
that,
cheating,
how would
guys. That,
how?
That is cheating, as a matter of fact, because those Google Glasses have cameras on them, so that would be they're cheating, and then I could get in a lot of trouble for cheating.
Oh, you could not.
Yeah.
You know what, guys? Cheating at Volcano Vista is actually not tolerated in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Even plagiarism, it can result in a referral to the administration and or suspension or maybe expulsion.
Wow.
So it could get me suspended, I could get written up, or I can get thrown out. That's the last thing I want. Really don't want to be thrown out.
Yeah. That sounds like a bummer.
It wouldn't be good, because then you guys couldn't say good morning to Judy the Buck in the background.
Hey, Jude!
Hey, Jude's.
Morning, Jude's.
Gonna drive that bus. Gonna get those kids to school.
You guys have a good day.
Good.
Yeah.
You guys are so funny in the mornings.
No, we're not. You guys are just all really tired.
I agree.
I don't know how, but I cannot wait for next Friday. Next Friday morning, you guys won't hear me on the air because...
No!
There is no school. I never miss the final. I always finish my final, so... The very last day of school for semester one, I'm never there because it's only a makeup day. Oh, you only have to show up if you miss a day of testing or you need to make up a day.
And I bet you've never missed a day of school in your life. In your
life? You know what, guys? Actually, I was talking to our data processor at school the other day, and I am on the perfect attendance list. And I was actually entered into a drawing this last summer, which is too bad I didn't win it, to win $50,000. Because I was on the perfect attendance list.
Wow.
Dude.
I wish they would give me 50.
I would have gone to school for 50 grand.
Yeah, man. That's
gosh.
Awesome.
School's changed.
Let me say this. It was the top prize of 50 grand, but they had four grade levels. They had freshman, sophomore, senior, and senior. Each one person from each grade level was drawn. And they had all kinds of schools there. It was up at Del Norte State, Del Norte, El Dorado, all the HBS schools. They had their students there. Once that got, picked. Yeah, I found out about this because this was in the summer, I was sitting around. I got a letter from Shelly Green, the APS chief academic
officer. Matthew, this is too much information.
So much. 627, people are punching themselves in the face.
Yeah, we got people punching themselves in the face. I need you to tell me what song you want to hear this morning.
Okay, guys, you want to get me some Amberlin? Play that for me this morning.
Booyah!
We're going to play the best Amberlin song.
Guys, you know what? $2,000 would go to you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll give a raise, eh?
Yeah, give us a raise.
Give us a raise. We're raising the roof.
Thanks, Matthew.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, you too.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. It's already like time for breaking news at this point. We were talking in the car. Doug, do you make a Christmas list? Are you too old for a Christmas list?
Doug.
Am I too old for a Christmas list?
No!
Dang it.
You know what, though? The thing, it's not that I think I'm too old for it, it's just that I forget to make one. Now, it's like my mom is like, hey, what do you want for Christmas?
That's what happened a couple days ago to me.
What do you want for Christmas? And I'm like, I don't know, gift card.
My mom texted and asked for a Christmas list from all of the Jeters.
Yeah.
And... She wanted to know what I wanted, what Chrissy wanted, what the boys wanted. It was like, I knew what the boys wanted instantaneously because they nag and say it so much.
I want that.
They want iPads. They want iPod Touches. That's what they want.
They want iPads, huh?
Oh, they want, yes, both of them.
I know.
But I don't know what I want. And honestly, if I'm being honest,
yes,
it's December 11th. I don't really know what Chrissy wants either.
Well, I don't know what Dawn wants. She won't tell me. I'm going to have to figure it out.
So you can't ask her for a Christmas list?
I feel like this is a topic.
No, here's the thing. You want to be able to, like, just discern. You want to be able to know.
You should know.
You should just get them something that just knocks them off their feet. But not physically, because Dawn's pregnant, and that would
that
be
would
mean.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
That would be very
like,
bad.
Typically, if she wasn't pregnant, it might just be funny. But now, with the baby on board, it's like, oh, man.
So it's like, oh, you better pay attention.
Pay attention. Pay attention.
It's too late for that. It's December 11th. I need a Christmas list.
No, I got this. Ugh. I can tell you what Chrissy wants.
Really?
She probably wants an extra espresso maker.
Yeah. Something to
you
do
should
with
get her a coffee something.
Well, yeah.
Just get, like a special. Do you guys have a French press?
We don't.
You could get a super French press.
You know how much, we already have an espresso machine.
Yeah, but
and a
you know how much French
thingy?
Presses cost? They cost like $20.
I know, but
I'm trying to help you right now. Yeah. She would appreciate it.
She probably would.
Did you guys know that you're not supposed to drink French press every day? Like, if you have a French press maker, it's because the oil, if you consume too much of it, and I'm talking like you would have to drink them every day for a couple of years or
okay.
something.
I'm like, great, but that's how you drank it at Starbucks.
It can make you really sick.
Great.
Really, really sick.
Well, good.
Don't
good.
Do it.
Okay.
You know what else can make you sick?
What?
Everything in this world.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do anything. In fact, just stay at home and sit there. But yeah. if you do that too long, you'll get diabetes, so don't do that.
So what the guy in the Quaker Oats commercial say?
Diabetes. Quaker Oats. Giving folks diabetes since day one. That's not right. You can't say that.
Oh, man. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
It's 6:30.
Let's just freaking
it's time.
It.
Let's go for it. We'll get to some music coming up. We're a talk morning show. That's what we do.
Yeah,
we don't
we do.
Even need
we
to
don't,
talk.
We don't need the crutch of music.
It's 6:30.
We don't need that, Doug.
It's time for breaking news.
Let's do it.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
We're just going to jump right on in.
Heck yeah.
The deep end of breaking news, December 11th, 2014. Number of the day is 9,672. And that's the number of minor injuries an average person receives in their lifetime.
Wow.
9,672. So if you don't want to get hurt, even in a minor way, good luck, because you're going to get hurt in a minor way. It's going to happen. Minor injuries.
I like ripped my
minor injury.
Minor injury. I'm bleeding this morning.
What have I done?
What is this
called? Oh yeah, I popped myself in the face with the jump rope.
Minor injury. You did it.
Dawn laughed at me this morning. She said, I was leaving, and she said, wait, come here. And I came over there, and she went, aw. Shut up, Dawn. I can jump rope. Okay, breaking news. According to a new hospital study, if you have complications after you return home from surgery, you stand a better chance of survival.
Oh, really?
If you return to that same hospital rather than seek out a different hospital.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
I'm like, wait, if you have complications, you have a better chance of survival from the surgery?
No. You got to return to the same place.
All right.
Remember that, folks, because they want more of your money. A man missing at sea since the Thanksgiving holiday was found safe aboard his boat 64 miles off Honolulu. He had been away from his family for 12 days. You know what this is. He tried to execute my plan B.
Yeah.
He heard me talking about it,
yep.
And he went and did it. And they found him. You didn't do it right, buddy. And your deserted island, Honolulu, not so deserted.
Gosh.
You need to go further south, my friend, or something. You know, go point towards Costa Rica. Don't go so far west.
Yeah.
Ah, I need to do this. I'm doing it. I'm going to do that's my Christmas
don't do
present.
It.
Christmas list. I need a schooner. An ocean capable, like an ocean-bound schooner.
There you go.
Off the coast, in a San Diego harbor. That's what I need. I'll start in San Diego. Oh, man, this
you
is going to be great.
You just told them your starting point.
No, I didn't.
Now they'll know how to track
now
you.
Now I'm trying to throw you off. All of you. Time Magazine has named its Person of the Year. The brave men and women who risked their lives to fight the scourge of Ebola. Fighters. I'm glad they won.
Yeah.
I think that's good. A new study says that people who go to bed earlier have fewer worries.
See, I'm telling you, man.
We have one less worry, and that worry is called Sons of Anarchy, because it is over.
It completed. It's finished.
And we finally watched it last night. Doug, we watched it. I thought it was a great ending. I really did. I was stoked about it.
It was like Return of the King. It was
sort of.
Seven They wrapped, I mean, they did a really good job wrapping everything up.
Yeah, and I didn't really mind, like, the...
End?
The montage.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was kind of cool. It wrapped it up pretty well for me. So I was satisfied. The divided U.S. Congress managed to pass a budget deal at the last minute to prevent the federal government's complete shutdown, which apparently... Guys, the federal government was in danger of completely shutting down. Crisis averted. Good thing. The Journal for Nature Conservation reports that the world's reindeer population is in severe trouble due to climate change and poachers. Who's poaching reindeer?
Yeah, right?
A bunch of jerks.
I guess it'd be easier because they have, like, red noses and they glow and stuff.
Oh, you
so
can
it's
see
like
them.
Easy. Yeah, it's easier.
And they
to, like,
fly.
Track.
It's kind of like duck season, reindeer season. You get out there and you go, oh, and they go, and they're flying.
Had meatloaf last night.
Was it reindeer?
No.
It doesn't count.
Okay.
Latest research reveals that 84% of vegetarians return to eating meat within only a year.
That was weird. I didn't even know you were going to segue into meat talk.
Meat talk. Hey, it's time for meat talk with Mateo.
I had meatloaf last night.
Meatloaf was wonderful.
It's kind of bummed it wasn't as good as it normally is in my
life. If you'd have made it out of cat meat, it would have been great.
Yeah.
Cat meat. Here on Meat Talk.
It was decent.
What's next? Venison. Let's talk deer meat. All kinds of deer. Deer is wonderful. Go out there and you kill it and then you eat it. I used to eat a lot of deer meat growing up. For real. It's good, though.
It's gamey.
It's chewy.
Yeah.
It's chewy, but I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot. CNN reports that America's armed security guards are woefully undertrained. Woefully undertrained. For example, in California, an armed guard must have 54 hours of training, while a manicurist must have 400 hours of training. So just think.
That's crazy.
Just think, guys. Everybody down at the Hot Nails has had more training than, you know, America's armed security guards.
We need to talk about this today with Nathan Foster, because that's exactly what he's talking about with the disciplines of the Christian faith.
Oh, hey, there you go.
The practice that
write
it takes.
Write it down.
Yeah.
Write it down and remember it. That's going to be great. Mm. Sons of Anarchy ended the series with... Oh, my gosh. This gives away the end of the show.
I'm so glad we watched it.
Doug, this straight up gives away... Did you read it? Don't read it. This gives away the end of the show.
Oh, man, we're going to black that out.
Ugh, what a bunch of idiots. Why would they do that? Spoiler alert, this sheet of paper.
Gosh.
Now that makes me worried. Are there any other series that I want to watch?
That they know the ending to?
Oh, man. Gosh. That scared me. I got halfway through. I make a habit to not read this before.
Producer Doug just goes, here's your news.
And I love doing it that way because sometimes I get halfway through and I'm like, I can't say this. But then I have to finish it because I'm pot committed. But not that one. I won't spoil it unless I have to. Purchase a beverage or a snack on a United flight next year and you probably won't see that bulky credit card terminal that never seems to print receipts properly. I hate those things. That's because the airline announced on Wednesday it's buying 23,000 iPhone 6 Plus handsets for flight attendants to use in air.
That makes sense.
The phones will be used for internal United email and procedure manuals. In 2011, the airline dropped some big money on 11,000 iPads for its pilots to replace paper charts and manuals. Wow.
So then you're just rocking a little square or something?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Hey, check this out. Instagram announced Wednesday the photo-sharing social network has reached more than 300 million monthly users, surpassing the number of Twitter users for the first time.
Wow.
Company jumped from 200 million to 300 million in about 9 months.
Man.
Meanwhile, Twitter has had about 284 million active monthly users as of the end of October. Instagram was purchased by social media giant Facebook in 2012. Facebook currently has 1.35 billion users.
Wow.
Lots of stalking opportunities.
Yeah.
You can stalk so many people on Facebook, man. It's awesome.
That's insane.
That is insane. You know what else is insane? Insane people at the asylum.
Yeah, that's...
Update.
Quite.
Update. Wait, I wish we had the Unsolved Mysteries music. Do we have Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack?
Where'd it go?
I don't...
Oh, it's on the same track. Why is it on the same track? I thought I fixed it.
Doug, did you ever watch Unsolved Mysteries? It was terrifying.
It was pretty awesome. Friends of ours were talking about shows they'd bring back. Resurrect. Unsolved Mysteries with Christopher Walken.
Mmm.
I'd watch that show.
Yes.
I'd watch that show.
My idea for that, Doug? Quantum Leap with Joshua Jackson from Friends, Dawson's Creek. Pacey, he would be great in Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Heck yes. Okay, so anyway, update. Do you remember on Unsolved Mysteries, they do, like, and then they go, update. Update.
Like, actually found the guy, or they found the killer. Or...
Wednesday, I told you guys about the Harvard Business School professor who engaged in a lengthy back and forth with the owner of a couple of Boston area restaurants over the issue of a $4 overcharge. Do you remember we talked about that?
Yeah, $4. $12 back.
Yeah. Apparently, the internet did not side with the professor, who is now apologizing.
Really?
Having That's reflected on my interaction with the restaurant owner, including what I said and how I said it, it's clear that I was very much out of line. I aspire to act with great respect and humility in dealing with others no matter what the situation. Clearly, I failed to do so. I am sorry, and I intend to do better in the future. I have reached out to the owner and will apologize to him personally as well. And then a special note to celebrities, politicians, and everybody else in this world, this is a proper apology. This is how you apologize. The professor had a right to complain, but he took it too far. And now at least he's apologizing the
That's
correct
awesome.
Way. That was a very respectful and honest apology.
Yeah.
The restaurant owner issued a statement of his own, thanking people from all around the world who voiced support for his business. And this says, now fix your website so it's got the correct prices on your menu so this doesn't happen
again. Yeah, dude.
Because I think the website was mislabeled. Anyway, that's your update. From the previous story.
That was good. That was really good.
I was excited about that. How is it possible that in a village that boasts a population of only about 500 people, that those people send more than 10,000 Christmas cards from their post office every year? As we all know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is the esteemed ringleader of all Santa Claus's flying crew ever since that whole foggy night situation back in the 50s. As such, his fame has made the village of Rudolph, Wisconsin, a popular place when the holidays roll around.
Huh.
People from all around have mailed more than 10,000 cards that will be mailed on Saturday just so their holiday cards for loved ones can be stamped by the Rudolph Post Office and get the special postal marking the post office's issue every year at this time. Features a bright red reindeer and reads Rudolph, Wisconsin, home of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Huh.
This tradition started back in 1945.
That's crazy.
The last batch of cards that will be mailed out go out December 13th and will be even more festive this year as the U.S. Postal Service has a new Rudolph stamps to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the claymation classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It's pretty awesome.
Man, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is a saint. No, just a deer. Not a saint, but that's okay. Oh, man. Here's an interesting story. Do we have Rocky music?
Always.
Always, Rocky.
Always leniency. Always leniency.
Oh, wait, this is... I do, but it's not...
This'll work.
I was hoping fine.
Make it happen. Yes. At the age of 67, Kay Kice was not about to let thugs steal her vehicle after she arrived at her Indianapolis home around 8 p.m. after doing some Christmas shopping for her grandkids and family. She claims that three men around the age of 16, so I guess boys, approached her and asked her for directions. But when she gave them, one of the teens pulled a gun on her.
Oh my gosh.
Miss Kai said that her instinctual reaction was to defend herself. She says she told them, "You're not getting my van," and slapped the gun to the side. She was hit in the side of the head by the teen and had fallen back into her van. Even though she had been struck and was disoriented, she managed to hold on to her keys. A 13-year-old boy heard her screams and told his mom, who called the police. The punks ran off. She spent the night in the hospital with several facial fractures, but she stood up for herself.
Dude.
She knocked that gun away. Boom!
That's
and then
crazy.
That punk little kid hit her in the face. What a jerk.
Why is the Rocky music going then if she got hit and went down?
She defended herself, and they ran off.
Yeah.
She defeated them. She defeated three 16-year-old punks trying to take her van.
That's pretty
huge. A 67-year-old woman.
Yeah.
She had the eye of the tiger. Also, AARP card.
Oh, look what I found.
I wonder if she had, there it is. See, this would have been... Yeah.
Yeah.
But Eye of the Tiger works.
Yeah.
I wonder if she had... What's the one where you have it and you fall down and you can call people? Like Safe Alert or something. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is that, Doug? Do you remember that? You don't remember that? You remember that? I can't remember what it's called. Safe Alert? Maybe? Maybe? We don't know.
We don't.
We got a couple more minutes for some more eyebreaking news. Oh, wow. When you see the body of a run-over animal on the side of the road, you probably grimace and take it as a stark reminder of your own mortality. But Massachusetts designer Pamela Paquin saw a unique business opportunity. A single mom with a daughter to care for, she came up with the idea to turn pelts of roadkill into winter accessories such as neck muffs, gauntlet gloves, velvet-lined hand muffs, and fur pom-poms to sit atop woolly beanies.
No.
That's right. Paquin, an animal lover who grew up on a dairy farm, started the company Petite Morte and quickly went about familiarizing herself with skinning, scraping, and tanning process. She has since established connections with wildlife officers and highway patrolmen. Once they stumble upon a salvageable specimen, they will give her a holler, and she'll drive out and skin it.
Gosh.
Over the years, she's managed to source accidental fur, quote-unquote, from bears, foxes, beavers, raccoons, coyotes, otters, baby fawn, and minks. Approximately 1 million dead animals are found on the road every day. So the question is, would you pay $1,300 for a roadkill coat?
Oh my gosh!
Because that's how much these custom coats cost.
$1,300?
For a roadkill coat! Life Alert. My mom texts me. That's what it's called.
That's it.
That's it, Mama. You got it. Life Alert. I've fallen and I can't get up. You need to call this lady and get a roadkill coat. Why?
That's crazy.
$1,300.
What are we doing?
Entrepreneurial
spirit. We're just giving ourselves away.
That's that entrepreneurial spirit. NFL teams on Wednesday unanimously approved a revised and strengthened personal conduct policy. Commissioner Roger
Goodell.
Yes. Said, we now have layered evaluation process to take into account a diversity of expert views. This will better enable us to make appropriate decisions and ensure accountability for everyone involved in this process. So that's good. And finally, a Dutch actress and adventurer has reached the South Pole after 17 days driving across Antarctica on a tractor. 38-year-old Menon Ossevoort drove across the frozen continent on a Massey Ferguson MF5610 tractor. 5610, baby, that's the only way you're going to get to the South Pole. Overcome with emotion at reaching her goal, she hugged the tractor when she arrived and celebrated with the team. Her expedition was the final chapter in a journey that previously saw her drive a tractor 23,600 miles from her home in Holland across Europe and Africa to Cape Town. And now she's reached the South Pole. You know what they say after this? There's only one way to go, and that's up. Go to the North Pole, lady. Find Santa Claus in your Massey Ferguson MF5610. Dang, dude. That's your breaking news for today. Let's take a look at traffic. You know, growing up in rural Mississippi,
yeah,
I witnessed a couple people drive to school on tractors.
Really?
It happened.
Wow.
It totally happened. Nothing's going on in the Albuquerque area right now. We got construction I-25 in Paseo and construction at Rio Bravo Boulevard and Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That's your look at traffic right now because we got to intro our best friend. He's a good dude. He's got a brand new baby and he has little sleep under his belt. His name is Doug.
Yes! Good morning, Doug!
Good morning.
Did you sleep a little?
Yeah, get any?
Nope.
No sleep.
Awake again from 1:30 to 4:30.
Hey, no sleep till Brooklyn, man.
Yep.
Man.
What can you do?
Nothing.
Nope.
Wait it out.
Can you give it back?
Did you keep
the receipt?
Today actually would have been his actual birthday.
Yay!
All right, early. Yeah. So shout out to that guy for keeping me awake for 2 weeks. Today, December 11, 2014, day 345. There are 20 more days remaining in the year. First up this morning, rapper, actor, Mos Def.
Mos Def. He's the Mos Def. Yo Gabba Gabba, Dexter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was great in Dexter.
Yeah.
He was in Talladega Nights.
Oh, yeah.
What did he play in Talladega Nights?
He played himself.
Oh, Most Def.
I can't think of
it. He was at the very, very end of the movie when Ricky Bobby goes to confront him. And it's Elvis Costello and Most Def are sitting at the table. And he's like, is that Most Def and Elvis Costello?
That's funny.
38.
41.
41 is correct.
Nice.
Starting off strong,
yeah,
babies.
Yeah, you are. Wow.
Babies.
Next up, he's the current Secretary of State. He once ran for president.
John Kerry.
Yes. He looks like the New England Patriots logo.
He does.
He looks dead as the Patriots logo.
Yeah. Who did the Angels acquire this morning? We traded away Howie.
How could you do that?
I don't know who we got, though.
Oh, you guys got the guy that the Dodgers traded for, this guy who was the Marlins' number one prospect yesterday morning. And then they traded to him, you guys, for Howie Kendrick last night. The Dodgers got Howie Kendrick, Jimmy Rollins, and Brandon McCarthy yesterday.
Makes me mad, dude.
Yeah.
I love Howie. He's one of my favorites. So I was like, oh.
He killed the Yankees, so I'm glad he's gone.
So he's a Dodger? Oh, Howie, that's okay. Gosh.
So John Kerry is who we're talking about.
The New England Patriots logo.
John Kerry is 78. I don't know. He's probably
67.
He is 71 years old today.
Oh, wow, okay.
Next up, all she's really famous for is singing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Rockin' around
the
Christmas tree.
Who is this? I know this. Who is this? Who is this? I can't remember her name. I didn't realize she was a one-hit wonder, though.
She has a whole Christmas album. This is like her big hoorah. Brenda Lee.
Brenda Lee. Okay.
Um, 72.
80. 81.
She is 70 years old today.
Oh, man.
Good guess.
Next up, from Boy Meets World, and just recently, Girl Meets World.
Savage. Ben Savage.
Sean.
Oh,
Hunter.
Ryder Strong.
There you go.
This was Mitch's favorite.
Yeah. So he's 36.
Boy Meets World. I guess he is 36. Didn't we learn that the other day?
Oh, is he?
Wait, no. 34.
He is 35.
Oh!
Dang, dude.
Close. And Boy Meets World. The final birthday today.
That's it?
Yeah.
Man.
And it's not
Doug,
that
are you
much.
Skipping people?
Dude, it's December 11th, man. I mean.
Yeah.
Wait, is this a WWE intro song? No.
No.
Sounds like it.
These guys just wrapped up their final tour ever.
Kiss.
Nope.
Oh, Motley Crue.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. They were just here. Tommy Lee.
Nope.
Nikki Sixx.
Yes.
Hey! What was his band he had for a minute?
Nikki Sixx? 6 a.m.?
That was it. 6 a.m. I don't care.
He has his own nationally syndicated radio show with Casey Kasem's daughter.
Let's see if he can be on this show.
Yeah.
Nikki Sixx is 56.
Okay. He is 52.
He is 56 years old.
Hey! That's funny.
That's great.
I wonder what he's going to do for his 66th birthday.
Oh, man.
Nikki Sixx is 66. Blah. He'll
All
have
right.
a devil party.
On to dates. On this day in what year, Indiana became the 19th state.
Okay.
When was Mississippi?
It was 1817, but I can't remember what number it was.
I thought you guys were like the 31st state.
I thought we were 20-something.
Oh. And this was the what state?
19.
19.
1814.
1812.
1816.
Ah!
And they Mississippi was the 20th state.
20th! Ah, man. Oh, man, dang, dude.
On this day in what year, Germany and Italy declared war on the United States.
Ooh. 1941.
Because Italy was in World War II, right?
Well, I think Italy was also in World War I.
Were they?
Mussolini.
So could it have been one?
Could have.
I'm going to say 1912.
1941 is correct.
Oh, yeah. Nicely done.
Mateo.
Oh, man, Sam Cooke.
On this day and what year, Sam Cooke was shot to death at the Hacienda Motel in Los Angeles.
Oh, Sam. Chrissy and I's song is sung by Sam Cooke. It was our first dance, our wedding. He was one of my all-time favorite musicians. Now I have to think about the year he was killed. It was so stupid, too. Okay. Oh, what year was it?
Don't know much about algebra. 1964. On this day, what year?
Apollo 17. I've never heard mention algebra.
The Apollo what?
17. Wait a minute, I lost my spot where I was reading.
What?
Became the sixth mission to land on the moon.
Sixth mission on the moon.
1970.
Yeah. Shout out, Andy Kaufman. I know you're still alive.
No, you're still listening.
17. Sixth mission to the moon.
Sixth mission.
70... Four. I don't know.
I said 70.
72.
Ah!
On this day, what year Genesis debuted in the United States?
Ooh, 1979.
1976.
Also in 1972.
Ah! Oh! Okay, they older than I thought they would.
Steve-O, this one's for you.
It's for you!
On this day, what year Tampa Bay Buccaneers finally won an NFL game by defeating New Orleans 33-14. The Bucs had lost their first 26 regular season games, 11 by shutout.
Okay, wait. 19, let's see. No, it wasn't that late. Because they became a team. Let's see. They had won their first how many?
They have lost their first...
I mean, lost their first...
26.
26 games. It's 1974.
1976.
1977.
Ah!
That's hilarious, because I'm even wearing my Bucks shirt today. But I couldn't remember their first year.
Wasn't me, Doug.
Nope. I'm just saying, what year Tiger Woods announced an indefinite leave from professional golf to focus on his marriage?
Oh, man. How long ago was this?
Because it was Thanksgiving Day, wasn't it? He crashed his car.
Were you still in Nashville when that happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know if I was in Nashville yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that long ago?
2010.
2011.
2009.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Dang.
Been a while.
That's how long it's been since he's been like a legitimate golfer.
So I wasn't in Nashville yet because I moved up.
That's crazy.
No, wait. Yes, that's when I moved to Nashville. It was 2009.
Well, all right.
Dang, dude.
Dang, dude.
All right. The number one song for today.
We clawed
our
chain,
our hearts
in vain. We jumped. We're listening to this chorus.
Oh, man. But we're going to be singing this all day.
It's worth it.
Don't you ever say I will always.
Matt Kemp just got traded to the Padres.
What?
Yes. I just got the MLB.
Oh, my gosh.
Baseball going on. And you know what happened? It came in like a wrecking ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball. Okay.
I love
2012. Rex Steve.
Oh, I thought something else was happening. Okay. What'd you say?
2012.
2013. 2013
is correct.
Yeah, baby.
It's only been a year?
Yep.
Gosh.
Almost two. It's almost 2015, babies.
Today is International Mountain Day. Celebrate by climbing a mountain, and it's Have a Bagel Day.
Yeah! Have a bagel after last night's SOA. They got blood on the stuff, so you want to run away. Gonna have a great show today with Teo and Steve-O. Don't delay.
Don't delay for the show today. Make all the rhymes like they end with A. That'll be okay. Really, really playful. All day, we're gonna have a tray full of food from Solomon's Porch.
Yeah.
Gonna be great, so get on the...
Sports.
Sports. Hey, man.
What rhymes with porch? Morch.
Scorch.
Scorch. Scorch.
Where were we with Scorch?
Scorch.
Firestorm. Scorch.
Torch.
Torch.
Yeah. The Human Torch.
Human Torch.
He was denied a bank loan.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
We got a great show today. I'm excited. Nathan Foster, author of The Making of an Ordinary Saint, will be joining us in 9 o'clock hour to talk about the spiritual disciplines. His father, Richard J. Foster, wrote Celebration of Discipline, talking about the 12 disciplines of the Christian faith. You might be listening going, what are those?
What's that mean? What's that about?
I'm excited to talk about that. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We got the Schroffs in the 8 o'clock hour with Aspen Project. And coming right back, we got to talk Christmas.
Got to talk Christmas.
Because I'm confused, man. Am I too old to make a Christmas list?
We got a great question of
the day. We got to talk about this. That's coming up next. It's T-Moss Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you morning time commuters. I got a little accident to report. Well, not an accident. There's a stalled vehicle, I-40 East at Rio Grande Boulevard, exit 157, and that is backing up traffic on 40 eastbound. Down to about, 20 miles an hour. Behind the stalled vehicle. So watch out for that. Be careful and don't cause an accident because of it. There's road construction. The roadway reduced to 2-lane through Rio Bravo Boulevard is at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. And, of course, the ever-faithful construction at I-25 in Paseo, which hopefully will be done soon. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast.
Solomon's Porch is a really cool place. You can go up in there and get coffee in your face. I got Walt and Annie and lots of folks.
In your face?
Ian is the coolest because he does it the most.
Yeah.
Where else would you put coffee?
Not in your face.
It literally goes into your face.
It goes... it does. You're right.
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party.
Hey, everybody. I'm Mateo.
I am Steve-O.
And Doug's in the other room.
We have to talk. My mom emailed me this week.
How could she do that?
Asking for a Christmas list for my family. She wanted to know what we all wanted. I have no idea. I know what my boys want, but I couldn't think of what Chrissy or I wanted. And then I got to thinking, man, I'm a grown-up. Am I too old for a Christmas list? And is it lame to ask your wife for a Christmas list? Because I have no idea. I don't know. 505-338-3700. Dougie, I already asked you. You're not making a Christmas list? Are you and Shannon doing Christmas? Because, I mean, you got a baby. Baby is your Christmas gift. You broke.
Gift in quotation marks.
Oh, best gift of all, man. Yeah. It'll feel that way in like 5 years, I promise. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Talking Christmas. It's the best time of year. Are you going to do a Christmas list?
Nope.
Why not?
Gift cards. It's easy.
So you think,
just say gift cards.
Gift card. To like random places? Like, or does she know? Like,
she knows. Hey, Dawn and I don't really... We get little happies for each other.
That's okay.
Like, little bitty things. Just little knick-knack items. We don't really go big for Christmas.
Yeah. Birthdays, right? Big thing?
Yeah, well, her birth... Okay, here's the deal. Our anniversary is December 9th, and then there's Christmas. Her birthday is February 16th, right after Valentine's Day.
Man.
So it's, like, stacked.
That's funny. My brother's birthday?
Yeah.
February 15th. My mom's birthday? February 17th.
Ha, 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 Dawn.
Gosh. It's too much.
Too much. I don't like it. It's too much.
It makes sense,
It's
though.
Too much
Especially
for me.
With the kids, you know, it's like, man, we're getting three kids Christmas gifts now. Do you get each other something? I think last year, Christy and I both decided, hey, instead of getting each other something, let's save money and get our backyard finished.
Ooh.
And that's when we got that, like, concrete slab and started, like,
getting
our backyard put together. So we did that
the
instead.
The backyard.
But this year, we haven't really, like, discussed Christmas, so I'm lost.
505-338-3700,
the phone number. Static!
Hey, guys. I know it's kind of lame, but me and my wife, for Christmas, for, like, bigger things, we go shopping with each other, because, I mean, we're adults now. We want to make sure that we get each other exactly what we want.
See, that's a good idea.
I mean, for, like, little things, for, like, we try and do little things so that there's actually, like, presents under the tree and everything
that
have all of our names on it. But for things that we really want, man, I'd rather go shopping with my wife.
I like that idea. Now
that's
I have
a real,
to call
that's
my
a
wife.
Solid idea.
Call my wife and steal your idea, man. That's a good one.
Steal
so.
No problem.
All right, thanks for calling. All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number. It's December 11th, guys. We are 14 days away. 2 weeks from today is Christmas. I don't know what to do. I'm going to call Chrissy.
So is our question of the day, if you're an adult, is it still okay to have a Christmas list?
Yeah. Like, what do you guys think?
When is too old
to have a Christmas list? Because I don't know. We're doing the Secret Santa gift exchange with our friends. I got my name this morning. Kind of excited about it.
Can you age out?
You've aged out of
Hello.
The system.
Hey,
Good
Chrissy.
Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Chrissy, it's me, Matt. Hey.
Hi, Matt.
Hey.
Honey, we need some help.
Okay.
All right. Are you listening?
Don't
Are
do
you
this.
Listening?
I was kind of listening. I heard Secret Santa.
See, this is exactly how our marriage goes.
Question.
I was kind of listening.
Chrissy, are you listening over the app?
No, the boys' radio is on, so I was listening.
Boys have a radio.
I've had
still.
Somebody text me say that they're trying to listen over the website right now, and it's messing up. But Doug and I pulled it up, and
it
sounds fine on our computer. Anyway.
I'll try and text you.
Honey, we're talking Christmas, okay? And we started to think about it. And Christmas, I don't know if you knew this, honey. It's 14 days away.
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah, think
You're
about
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
We still haven't even gotten our children anything. What are we doing for Christmas this year? Are we getting each other anything?
Yeah, that's what this
the
is about.
The question of the day is this. When is too old to have a Christmas list?
Like, this is what happens at Christmas time.
The veiled, or the
this
actual
is
question
happens.
Is, Chrissy, what do you want for Christmas? The question of the day is, when is it too old to have a Christmas list?
But the truth is, I don't freaking know what you want!
He needs to know.
This is what happens in our house. Steve goes, hey, honey, what do you want for Christmas? And then they're like, he'll go out and he'll be like, oh my gosh, I found this comic book. You don't have to buy me anything for Christmas. And then he'll go to another store and then he'll find something he wants and he goes, oh my gosh, Chrissy, really, for real, don't buy me anything for Christmas. So Steve just buys himself stuff for Christmas.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, so let's just do that. And I'll do the same thing and I'll go to the store and I'll buy myself something for Christmas.
We just had a listener call in. And say that him and his wife go shopping together.
Aww,
and
like a
make
date.
Like a date out of it. Right? Huh?
That doesn't sound like a date.
What?
Oh, man. Chrissy, he'll take
Well, maybe if we leave the kids at home.
Right.
And
you
and I.
And
me.
We'll go shopping. We'll buy stuff, and then we don't have to do this whole Christmas thing.
Nah, you guys got to take Brody.
Oh, gosh. And that way, you know, we
you
can...
know how much I like spending all day in the hat shop.
In a hat shop? Come on, jerk! What do you mean?
You like hats.
I do. I do like hats. You like hats. I really like hats. But I don't spend all day. When was the last time you had to spend all day in a hat shop?
Last time we were at the mall.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that was fast.
Wow.
That was like automated response.
Hey, last time at the mall.
The last time you and Matt were at the mall, you took Matt to the hat
I was
store.
Just about to say, to be fair, the last time we were at the mall, I made Matt go to two different Lids stores with me.
Oh, yeah, that hat shop. And you know what I did? I walked in and I was like, I'm going to go stand. I went to a different store.
He just walked out, Chris.
I get disinterested in hats. I don't wear hats.
Yeah.
So, Merry Christmas. We'll figure it out. We got 14 days.
Out.
2 weeks from today, my love. 2 weeks.
Okay, well, I'll start figuring out what I'm going to buy myself.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Will you just figure out what you want to buy and then give it to me, and I'll write it down, or I'll go buy it, and we'll pretend like we got each other's stuff.
No.
No?
Okay.
No.
You are a good gift buyer, though. Steve is a very good gift
Aww.
Buyer.
Thank you. I try.
He's very good. Yeah.
He
tries, and he succeeds. He's good.
Yay!
I do this. I used to do this thing, but then it got too old, because every year I would do the, hey, let's not get each other anything, and then I would like,
get
boom,
something.
Boom, boom! One year I got her like a digital camera, and it was the one year I hung out in line at like a Best Buy or something for like Black Friday.
Yeah.
And I got her this digital, back then they actually had cameras, right?
I remember that.
And I got her a digital camera because she really wanted a camera. Well, inside the camera case, what she didn't know was floor tickets to see Sarah McLachlan.
Hey!
In the arms of and so I was like,
did you go see Sarah McLachlan?
Yeah, we were
floored. Was it beautiful?
It was incredible.
Man, did you cry?
Oh, psh.
Did they pawn off animals to you guys at the concert?
There were no animals pawned off.
Dang.
None animals pawned off.
See,
but it
that's
really
a missed
was.
Opportunity.
It was an incredible show. So, yeah.
We went to the show and Matt cried.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You'll
there
never
you
see me cry, Chrissy.
All right. Well, I love you.
Love you, too.
Glad we worked that out.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Now we don't need a question of the day, guys. I figured it out.
Oh,
I'm
my gosh.
Kidding.
Switch. Switch. Now that I've posted this. Doug, let's find the real question of the day.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or 505-338-3700. Christmas. It's 2 weeks away. And we want to know, when is too old to put together a Christmas list? My mom asked me what I wanted for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I remember, dude, I remember when I was a kid, I had like a detailed,
yes,
color-coded.
Me too.
These are the video games I want.
You had an
these
A,
are the
B,
movies
and C.
I want. This is the CDs I want. Like, I had a list. The books. And I just had like a top 20 list on, seriously, like a 10-page list.
I know. That's how I was, too.
Oh, man.
I had like a, this is what I really want. This is like,
yes,
these are placeholder items.
Yeah. Yes. I will accept this. You need to get one from category A, B, C, and D.
Yes.
Okay? Oh, man.
I know what you're talking about.
I had a Christmas list. But now as a grown-up, it's just kind of like, I don't know.
Well,
I buy myself stuff if I want stuff.
You're worried about the lists that your kids are making.
My kids have one thing on their list. It's like
iPad.
iPad. It's like, no, we know, but what else? If you could, yeah. And it's like,
nothing else.
I don't understand. There's nothing else. What
well,
else
it sounds
there
to
be?
Me like you're lucky. Because a lot of kids would be like, I want an iPad. I want an iWatch. I want a pre-ordered iWatch, and when it comes out, I want that.
Yeah.
I would also like a Power Wheel. I would like some more video games, lots of candy. Do not buy me socks. I've got plenty of socks.
Oh, man. Chrissy just sent me a text.
Oh, no.
Because she actually thought of something she wants for Christmas.
Oh, no.
She wants me to get a pedicure with her for Christmas. I don't know if I can do that, guys. Have you guys ever done anything like that? Pedicures?
Let me think. Hang on. I did it in college.
Stop it.
That was a completely different scenario. No, I'm kidding. Doug, I'm not kidding, am I? Oh, you know me too well, Doug.
338-3700. Phone lines are jamming up. Static.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Steve, you already got your eyebrow threaded. You might as well get a pedicure and a manicure.
And it'd be with my wife, so it'd be totally acceptable.
Right.
Oh, no.
Pool boy, do you do a Christmas list every year?
The kids do, but me and my wife, I kind of just throw out some things, you know, like in November.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of just throw them out there. And whatever she lets me do, it doesn't matter what it is. I appreciate her, man. She's my Christmas gift every Christmas morning.
Oh, man.
That's how he gets what he wants right there. That's
no,
the method.
No. I want a nose hair trimmer, dude.
A nose hair trimmer.
Dude, just...
Yeah.
They're like $7.
No, I got you. I have one of them.
And the thing is, my wife's birthday is January 1st.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, Luke is January 4th, so we feel you.
Yes. Yeah, and my mom's is February 15th as well. I heard you say somebody.
Yeah, my brother.
Yeah, so it's kind of from December on till the end of February, we were kind of spending a little bit of cash. You know what I mean?
Yep. Oh, yes.
You know what? My kids are I got great kids, man. I love my kids. They just want a gift card. They don't want it to any store. They just want one of those Visas so they can order stuff online.
Ah, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm getting them that. You know, I'm not sure how much cash. We'll see what my bonus is this year.
There you go. All right.
Yeah,
so, I like that.
My wife, I get her the same thing every year for Christmas. And then, Mateo, like you were saying, the little knickknacks this here, a little this there.
Yeah.
You know, nothing major. We don't do no huge purchases. We just do, you know, I get her perfume that she loves, and it lasts her all year.
Yeah. Nice.
So, you know what I mean? And then, you know, just odds and ends, a little card here, a little heart here, a little teddy bear here or something, you know. But,
like that.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be making a list, Mateo. I mean, Steve-O, come on, man.
What?
Come on, man.
My mom asked, and I was like, well, maybe I should try this list thing. You know, I don't know.
You should ask. Just ask her for some extra cash so you could probably try to get the kids those iPads.
Yeah. See, the funny thing is, like, I know how my mom is doing financially, and I'm like, we don't need anything. I just want love and affection, Mom. It's okay, you know? But she always wants to give gifts.
I wish she was listening right now. She would call in.
That's her love language, gift giving.
Because your mom is able to, and she has a great heart, man. That's right. My mom, actually, she said on the 15th, my mom's already retired from the school district. She, you know, got her Social Security and all that stuff. So she's just chilling, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So she picked up crocheting or knitting or whatever. So she made target color beanies for the family, scarves and all kinds of little earbuds and stuff like that. And she's shooting that out to us. So
that's cool. That's very, very cool.
Okay. Yeah, man. So it's like, it's really, we make it such a big deal, but it's really not, man. As long as we're healthy and we got our loved ones and we can give them a gift that makes them smile.
Yeah.
That's all that matters, bro.
There you go.
I like that.
Thanks, Bull Boy.
Right, I love you guys.
Love you too, bro.
I love you.
Who is that?
Who?
505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Christmas is 2 weeks away.
Christmas.
Talking Christmas gifts. I haven't even begun shopping. I feel like...
Did our other call hang up?
It did.
Dadgummit.
We get the phone lines jammed, but then people are like, yeah. I can't wait on the phone!
Man. Sorry. Man, oh man. Nobody's answered on Facebook.
The good news is, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're talking with Nathan Foster. He wrote a book called The Making of an Ordinary Saint, talking about the spiritual disciplines. One of them, maybe patience, a little more. You know,
hey, man, patience.
Just kidding.
I want to share a story, too.
Yeah.
I had a friend. I encountered this not that long ago. I guess a few years ago. But I was raised thinking that no matter what, like if somebody got you a present, the thought was the most important thing.
Mm, mm-hmm.
No matter what it was, you know, like that's the gift to you. They thought
right.
about you. They cared enough about you to get you something. And then I had a friend that one time I tried to get a Christmas present for, and the friend was like, oh man, just don't give me anything. And it was like, why not? Well, I just don't really want that. You know, so I encountered this shift
right.
in thinking, this different set of priorities that I had never encountered before, where it's like, it was good intentions. It was
right.
from a good place. It was like, no, I would rather, you know, you not feel like you have to get me anything.
Yeah.
Unless you were specifically going to get me something that I actually want.
Because you know that comes in to play. When somebody gets you
yeah.
something, you immediately, there's this little bit of guilt where you're like, I didn't get you anything.
Damn.
And now I have to get you something.
Yeah.
Now we have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was like a cool way to talk to all the friends and go, hey man, are you going to get me anything? Sure. Yeah.
Hey man.
Okay, no?
No?
How about we just decide now we don't spend money and then we'll be good. Good? Your
yeah.
friendship's enough. I love you.
But
okay.
The problem with that conversation is, it's like, oh no. Now I really do have to get something. Like something, I got to get something.
This is true.
Because they're going to get me something. Now I've got to get something.
Now I've got to get them something.
But it was just this totally different thing. So my question is it better to just get people things Or is it better to kind of save people the... Because I really think it was coming from a good place.
Right.
It was like, no, I would rather you save money and be able to spend that on others who you want. Like, you can spend more on more people that you love rather than spending money on something for me that I'm not going to want. It's kind of like they were trying to save time and money. They were doing, like, the long con, I guess. Is the like, they were trying to help in their own way. But it's like, no! I'm buying you something, and you're my friend. You're my friend. I don't care if you want it. You know, but then it goes to show. It's like, well, I guess there's flaws on both sides.
See, because for me, birthdays is huge. Birthdays is the time where it's like you gush on your friend because it's their birthday.
Right.
So you go big on birthday. But Christmas, it's like, man, 140 people want, you know, you got kids, and you've got your family members, your parents, you've got, and gift.
Yeah.
If you got everyone you know a $10 gift, everybody's getting a crappy $10 gift, and you spent $4,000. So Christmas is different,
dang,
man.
You spent $4,000 on a friend?
I have a lot of friends.
Who was this friend?
No, it was all my friends, $10 each. Mm. I have a lot of friends. You know, I got
to
get everybody who follows me on Instagram
list.
Something. I'm just kidding.
If you follow me on Instagram, I'm going to spend at least $10.
I got at least, you know, $4
really,
for you.
You know, it's an ego boost for me, and that's priceless.
Exactly.
I love it.
You know, just to thank you for following me and putting up with my terrible photos.
Yeah, I put up a bowl of cereal picture the other day and got 20 likes, and it was like, yeah, man, these are my real friends. They get me.
Question of the day. It's posted facebook.com/mystaticradio. It's not supposed to be a stressful time of year.
But it can be.
It seems like this gift giving, it can turn stressful if you don't have a plan implemented.
Okay, Stuart and Olivia's mom, Sarah, says, one is never too old for a Christmas list. Sounds to me like she asked her husband
Sarah,
for something.
Sarah, you're the best.
And she's not sure.
Do you think Olivia and Sterling, they're still kiddos. They probably still totally.
Well, I don't know. Olivia might be too busy for Christmas.
Whatever, she has an itemized Christmas list that's got like this
color coded.
She printed
out a spreadsheet.
Yeah, she's got that down.
I printed this in Excel. I'm sorry. I'm sorry it's Excel, but that's all I had at Oak Grove. That's all I had to work with. Naomi, the iThreader herself.
Extraordinaire.
Yeah, she says, my parents still think that I'm a child and ask me what I want every year. So I ask for household appliances.
Ooh.
Last year, I got a crock pot, and this year, I asked for a vacuum cleaner. Mom, Dad, and Bobby, if you're listening, I also want a $100 gift card to H&M. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Get specific, friends.
There you go. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or 505-338-3700, the phone number. Static!
Good morning, guys. It's Sarah.
Sarah!
I don't need my eyebrows threaded or pedicures, but I sure do like giving a list and then letting my husband pick one thing from something I actually want.
What if he picks the wrong thing?
Well, that's
what. But if I make a list, I want them all.
That's true. Do you make like a big Christmas list, or is it like, I want these two things, don't screw this up?
No, I haven't done that.
Okay.
That's usually several things.
Okay. See, that's good. That's good. Because throughout the year, you're just like, I want this, I want this, I want this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't necessarily write it down. However, Olivia's Excel spreadsheet is quite workable.
Of course. Of course. Man, amazing.
So, your kids probably do Christmas lists, right?
Yeah, yeah. Except... this year, they've kind of honed in. Both of them seriously are like, I want an iPad. And we're like, okay, cool, make a Christmas list. And they're like, no, I want an iPad. I'm like, they won't.
No.
I guess you didn't hear the part where I said iPad. And it's like, dude.
Let's expedite this iPad.
That's not a Christmas list. That is just, no. So, yeah. So right now, we're trying to, you know, remind them that it's okay to ask for more than one thing because chances are that one thing is really expensive. So,
we've had that conversation at our house too. So.
Yeah, yeah. So we're trying to make sure that list expands just a touch. So,
yeah.
There you go. Thanks, Sarah.
All right. Have a good morning, guys.
You too.
Man.
505-338-3700.
We live in a different world. I remember my aunt got me a Palm Pilot when I was in college.
A Palm Pilot?
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember those things? They were the precursors to whatever it is we have now.
Wow.
Like with the pen and everything.
Yeah.
You know what I did with that thing?
Huh.
Put it back in the box and set it on my dresser and never used it. Not one time. My dad was so jealous of that gift. He was like, no, look, you can plan your day. And I was like, plan my day?
Yeah.
What, am I 40? I don't want to plan my day. I want to live my life.
Oh, man. Static.
I don't want to plan my day either.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Come on,
now. What's up, man?
Who plans days, man? That's so 1998. Come on, now.
I think that's... No, it was like early 2000s.
I'm not going to lie. In high school, there was like 7 minutes in high school where I was like, I'm an adult. I'm like 16, 17, and I had one of those like leather like calendar planner thingies.
Yeah.
And I think I think I wrote like 2 things in it ever, but I carried that thing around as if like I was really planning.
Hang on, let me check my schedule.
Hold on, let me check. No, yep, I'm good.
Nope.
Looks like I haven't scheduled anything today either.
Yeah.
So you're good.
Just lined paper. That's great. That's awesome.
Man.
Steve, I had to call in for you, buddy. I'm looking out for you, all right? But
yes.
I got some advice.
Okay.
Love it.
All right. Can we got to have some common denominators here before we delve into the good stuff. Can we go there?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Ryan Woolley has a beard, yes?
Yeah.
Ryan Woolley is also from Texas.
Okay.
Ooh.
Ryan Woolley is a card-carrying member of the NRA.
Yeah. As I have 2 lifetime member belt buckles on my dresser at home, buddy.
All right. So can we just equate to the fact that though I do not have like kids and all these other things, like I'm trying to be a good man. Like I'm working there. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing. I'm trying to help you out because I know you're a good husband. You're a good man. All right.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing like putting the man in manicure and pedicure. All right.
Whoa,
go with me on this. All right.
All right. Wooly.
All right. You got to go there, buddy. Here's the thing. You got a little some, I don't even know, whoever it is that just wants to sit there and clean you up. All right, whatever, go ahead and be like, no, it's cool, that's for the ladies, whatever. Man, you are going to feel so good, you don't even know.
See, Chrissy wants, like, couples massages and pedicures.
Which
and
one
these,
is
like,
for the feet? Is that the pedicure?
Hey, go ahead and play the role. Say, oh, no, guys, can't do that, whatever. And then, like, wait until the day before
that.
And then go with it.
Yeah.
And you will be a new man. It's
okay.
Like... It's like the second baptism. You don't even know. It's so
nice.
Great. You come out and you're like, oh, hey, wow, I'm refreshed.
Mm. It's like a second baptism.
Plus, the thing would be if you really want to get your wife or significant other what they want,
yeah.
And that's what they truly
want.
That's
what she wants. She wants me to go with her. And
you got
to
go.
She wants me to go.
Why not?
No,
that's a sacrifice you got to make, man.
This
and
is
it's
going
to be amazing.
It's not even a sacrifice.
It could be way worse. It's like, my wife wants to spend time with me. I'm like, oh, of course. I'll probably end up doing that. I'm not going to lie.
And someone's going to clean your feet in the meantime?
Right.
Come on, man. You get a foot
massage?
I'm going to
feel like a king.
You get a foot massage.
I'm going to sit and pretend like I'm on a throne and hold her hand and we'll be like, yes, no, get the left toe.
Leave,
do it.
That's real terrible, man. Come on.
That's a terrible way to look at it. You're a horrible person.
Awful.
Okay. Sorry.
Looking out for you, man.
That's
I'm looking
how
out. That's something you need to push the green button on.
I just
go,
want
brother.
Somebody
go.
To have, like, olive leaves, like...
I'll go with you guys.
I want that, and then somebody else to like feed me pecans the whole because I'm from
pecans.
Yeah, dude. I
Mateo's
pecan
wearing,
trees when
Mateo's
I was a kid,
wearing
man.
A feather hat, playing a mandolin in the background.
See, that's it. That's what I want. There you go. I'm gonna make it happen. I just made Chrissy's gift even better.
Boom, Chris.
Boom.
She puts the Chrissy in Christmas. There it is.
Hey.
And then, boom. Hey, man. This is meant to be. You need to go get yourself a pedicure. That's what you need to do.
There you go.
I love that it's a pedicure. It's a sweet present for your wife, and we're talking about sacrifice and everything, and then you went Vikings on everybody. I know what I'll do.
I'm going to have like this big old
this
like,
is
turkey
how
leg.
I'll man-ize it.
Yes.
I'll be like,
this
yeah,
is how
dude.
You do it, man. You
yeah.
are a man. You take
I'm
care of your
king.
Wife. You go get a pedicure, brother.
I'm going to wear my furs.
King
right?
of the castle.
I'm
king
furs.
Of the castle. King
I'm
going to
have like
castle.
A turkey leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
You need to have some pair of 501s on and some camo shirts.
Maybe you could find a criminal and sentence him to death.
Oh, that's
you could
good.
Say, oh, you're
no,
a criminal.
It's Christmas season. I'll pardon him.
Oh, that's what you can do. Be like, you have been sentenced to death.
Oh, man.
Roll up on your no, Harley pardon. From the tattoo yeah. parlor. You're just ready
it.
To go, man.
I love it, man. I love it.
Hey, I love
really.
You.
Love
I
you,
love
buddy.
You too, buddy. Oh, Wooly.
Wooly's
a
good
dude. Good people, man.
Leonard says, I always make a list. Sometimes I even check it twice.
Okay.
Leonard, I don't think you are who you think you are.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Question of the day, it's posted. Boom, boom, boom. It is Christmas time. We are 2 weeks away from Christmas. We started talking, you know, sometimes it can be stressful getting Christmas gifts. My mom hit me up a couple days ago wanting to know my Christmas list, and I seriously blanked. I was I don't know.
Here's,
I buy myself stuff year-round. I'm a grown-up.
Wisdom from my mom. She says, as long as there is someone who wants to buy you gifts, you are never too old for a Christmas list.
Okay.
The people who want to buy for you want to buy you what you really want.
Okay.
Smiley face. Yes, gift card to H&M, Mom. I'm sorry.
See, we're both gift card guys.
I always forget the text back.
Because we'd just rather shop.
Yeah.
We just rather take care of it ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe that's why I don't usually have a Christmas list.
Cut out the middle, man.
I'm very specific.
Yeah.
So, cold hard cash.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than being like, man, this is one size too off.
Yeah.
Or one size off, you know? One size too big, one size too small.
I got a really good idea, because my mom wanted me to send her a Christmas list. What if I just mailed her, like, my P&M bill and my homeowners association bill and said, here you go. I want these paid for.
I think one Christmas I got tires for the car, and it was like, this is great. It's fun being an adult. What'd you get for Christmas? Tires for the car?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, man.
It's practical.
It's great, man. I like your, like that iPad you got there. Does it get on the internet? Yeah, man. It gets on the internet even when you're in the car.
Yeah.
You want to go?
Yeah, but you wouldn't be in a car.
Maybe we could ride around
tires.
In my car with the tires and you could get on the internet and I could just watch.
I get that, though. It's like practical.
Yeah. It's like practical and you're like, dang it, I really need this.
Yep.
This is the worst.
Yeah, but H&M gift card, that's still clothes. That's practical.
Yeah,
you need clothes.
Yeah, we don't need clothes. In comparison to
tires.
Yes, yeah, like basic, or not basic needs, but and think about that. I'm calling a tire a basic need. It's like a total luxury.
Well,
I have a car.
That's true. Chrissy and I, you know, we had been saving up because we were wanting to take a vacation, take a trip, and then her car broke down.
Mm.
And all of that saving, it was like, look, we didn't have to put on a credit card. We had all this saved up. Mm-hmm. Goodbye, vacation money. And it was all gone, but it was taken care of. But you feel like, this is what grown-ups like, huh?
Man.
All right. I guess we'll just take care of everything.
My mom just said, it's done.
She heard your plea.
She heard
your cry. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or 505-338-3700. Christmas lists. Are you ever too old to make a Christmas list? What do you want for Christmas? All right.
What do you want for Christmas?
That's how we do right now.
Call in and tell us.
My favorite things. It's FF5 on Team Austin Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Raindrops and roses, whiskers on kittens, and ripe
apple. That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Austin Morning Party.
Good morning.
On Static Radio.
Hey-o. Let's take a look at traffic. With Teo! Accident in the right lane's blocked to Unser Boulevard south at I-40. We've also got an accident on the transition ramp I-40 east at I-25, the big interchange here in town. And we've got a stalled vehicle, the middle lane. Oh, in the middle lane. I-40 west at Pennsylvania overpass. That stinks. And it looks like around those accidents and that stalled vehicle, traffic is a little bit stacked. Also, we've got construction I-25 in Paseo and construction Rio Bravo Boulevard and Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That's your look at traffic right now.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669. Good morning. Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party. Steve O'Mateo with you.
Hey, hey.
It is Thursday. It's 8 o'clock hour, which means we always like to bring in one of the Shroffs. And this week we got the man.
Yeah,
the head of the household. The king.
The king.
I love him. Don't tell her that. I'd be in trouble when I got home.
Clay, you're missing your theme music we got going for you.
Clay Shroff in studio.
I know, but he's jamming. So we're good.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, man.
thank you for always having us.
Of course.
Tis the season, by the way.
Tis the season.
Did you guys see all those gifts that Calvary's taken in?
Yes. Yeah, dude.
Aspen Project is responsible for getting those out to the people.
I like that. That's exciting.
Super stoked.
Now, speaking of gifts, we were actually talking about this earlier. You guys, for those that don't know, rocks an amazing ministry, Aspen Project, helping others with, you know, team up for foster care, adoption, a lot of great things. And you guys have 10 kiddos in your house.
10.
10. We were talking about Christmas. We were talking about Christmas lists and how crazy it is to shop and kids. And then I started thinking about the Schroffs.
You know, we don't believe in gifts. We don't give... No, I'm just kidding.
Children are gifts, and so we leave it at that.
We have tried to talk my wife and kids into that. Just it's a savings plan.
Yes.
And it hasn't worked out so well.
Yeah, not yet. So, man, 10. What do you guys do?
You know what? It really depends on the year. You know, we're paying for a wedding in January.
Yeah.
Just being honest.
So, yeah.
It does cut into the finances.
Oh, that's gotta ire and anger the other nine. Going, well, your sister's getting married.
Well,
so.
And I have four or five
sister's
birthdays.
Sister's getting married, so you don't get anything.
This month.
Oh.
Savannah and my wife are the 24th of December. So
oh,
we got those.
No.
They have the same birthday?
Yep.
And it's Christmas Eve.
And it's Christmas Eve.
Wow.
Same thing as my nephew, actually. We were all born. We went to the hospital together. It's a long story. But.
Sounds like a long story.
This year, we're going to draw names for the older kids.
Okay.
And then we generally buy one semi-big.
So it's like the Hunger Games. One kid volunteers his tribute,
right.
And you get that one kid a gift.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's exactly
the other
right.
nine fight them for that one kid. No, I'm just kidding.
It's pretty good.
Wow.
You know,
the Christmas games.
Yes.
Like me and Michelle.
Yeah.
I need nothing. Like I heard you earlier. I'm a full-grown man. I got my own money.
Right.
If I wanted it.
I got my own money. I'll go buy it.
I already bought it.
Truth, because chances are if your bride goes and gets you something, it's coming from the same bank account anyways.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I mean, it's our money. I mean,
I don't need no pedicure.
That's another level.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
If Michelle asked you to go with her to get a pedicure, would you go and do it?
Oh, I do whatever my wife tells me to do.
Exactly.
But would I just go get a pedicure? Heck no.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and men, not too much lotion on the hands. It just, you know, ease up. And plucking your eyebrows? You're supposed to have eyebrows.
Yeah.
Not in the middle, though, Clay. That's
okay,
the issue.
So get rid of a couple of them.
Yeah.
I'm just playing.
You're supposed to have eyebrows, not unibrow.
If you're a feminine man and you get your self-waxed on the face,
hey, nothing
in.
Wrong. If you're a chick dude,
if you're
look,
a chick dude,
let's chick
we
dude.
Love you. I'm just playing. We love you anyway.
We love you so much.
My wife actually just sent me a list. She said, this is good. She found the four gift rule. In this house, they do the four gift rule. It's one thing they want, one thing they need, one thing they wear, and one thing they read.
That's pretty cool.
I like that.
I do too.
That
get them four
really cool.
gifts.
Yeah.
One want, one need, one thing that they wear, and one thing they read.
That's pretty
so pick
cool.
one.
I like that.
What if you can't read?
No, you
read?
Get them all four, Clay. You get the...
No.
That's 40 gifts for your kids if you guys did that.
Good luck, Clay.
Gosh, man. Yeah.
We're going to get stuff used. They should have garage sales in December.
See, you know what? The funny thing is, I was telling my wife, because our garage is full of crap, and I said, we need to have a garage sale, and she said, this is not the season for a garage sale. And I'm like, we got to get rid of the stuff. This would be a perfect time.
It is. It's Yes.
But my wife's like, no. We'll save it for the spring where we can give it away. We can donate it. I'm like, donate it?
Donate?
Do you understand?
Christmas. We need money.
We need money. Yes.
Oh, man.
Donate?
Donate? What is this?
Hey, wait a minute. We are a 501c3.
This is Christmas. Donate.
Can you guys use a standing basketball system?
Hey,
it's taking up half
what
my
you
garage.
Get for Christmas, buddy.
Yeah.
You get a standing basketball thing.
That was fast.
It's an electronic hoops thing. It's like they have at Chuck E. Cheese. There's like two little rims.
That was
takes
turnaround.
Up half my garage, and they haven't. I've got it for them last Christmas. They already not using
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I remember
because they were using the real one in the backyard instead.
Yeah. You know what we do try
they
to
outgrew
do
it a little
is
bit.
Yeah. Try to get things that they're actually going to use.
See exactly.
And that's not just something because it's cool and it's going to be gone. Like, I think we're buying a sound system for our house.
Okay.
Everyone's into the music.
Yeah.
So we'll probably do that for the family gift.
I like that.
Something for the family. We better hurry up and draw names, because otherwise...
Yeah, it's dude, you got 2 weeks until Christmas Day.
I know. You know
what?
That's
crazy.
And the other thing I really want to do with my family, and my family has, and this is a real deal, I was joking before, I want to give gifts on New Year's, because there are freaking awesome sales.
See, and that's it!
After Christmas.
Yes!
So we should give celebrate Jesus' birthday.
Yeah?
And then have gift day on New Year.
Gift day. Gift day on... I like that idea. Seriously.
That's a good idea.
Seriously. Because everything's like 75% off, because it's like, well, this is all the junk we couldn't sell.
Yeah, but because it's Christmas, I paid 100% for you.
Right.
Right? You. No. It should be New Year's
I like
Day.
That.
We open gifts.
I like that.
That's a good
new
idea,
year,
man.
A new year,
yeah.
A new gift.
Start out the new year right.
And we concentrate on this and on a really serious note. We read the Christmas story when we wake up.
Yeah.
And we have the stockings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we're careful. You know, we have learned to downsize, and it isn't just because of the money.
Yeah.
But we've learned to downsize a lot because of room.
Yeah.
But also because, you know what, we don't need stuff. If my kids needed something, they got it.
Right. Agreed. So. There you go. Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project. Let's talk a little bit about the Aspen Project. What's going on with you guys right now?
We got so much going on.
Let's hear about it.
So cool. Project Zoe is absolutely in full launch. You know, it was cool. Jared Roundsville, who is the director of CYFD, kind of my in, super nice guy.
Yeah.
Called me out to Las Lunas about a week ago, a week and a half ago. And said, hey, I want you to meet with the department heads about the gift giveaway and tell them about what you do. So I'm thinking there's like going to be like 5, 7, maybe 10 people.
Right.
And we're going to sit in a room, put our feet up.
Right.
Right. And I had just come back from hunting. We brought my other son out because it was his birthday hunting. So I do a real quick bathroom change.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still, my shirt ain't tucked in. I still got muddy, bloody boots on. And I.
Bloody boots?
Because we got something. Because there may be people out there that don't like hunting.
Money, bloody boots, we killed a guy.
I had to bury him. So, Jared meets me out front of this awesome building in the middle of nowhere in Las Lunas, and I'm thinking, okay, he's going to bring me into this room, and there's going to be like 10 people.
Yeah.
I walk in, there's 50 people.
Whoa,
and
man.
He does this. He goes, hey, Clay, come stand in front of all these people, and why don't you just entertain them for a while? But what he was saying is, why don't you tell them about everything you do? And I'm sitting there looking at 50 people going, I really look like a redneck.
You're like, well, just got off out my truck, put that shotgun away. We killed us some ducks, and
y'all don't mess with me.
Don't mess with me. But you know what? We got to tell them about Project Zoe and about what we're doing with the Aspen Project. In fact, we're in need of household items. Let me just tell you, this is a new need.
Yeah.
They called me up, and there is a 14-year-old boy, I believe, that has just been replaced with his mother, who just got an apartment. And I think that's all I can say so far. But they have nothing.
Yeah.
No dishes, no pots and pans, no bed sheets, no nothing. Couches, anything. So what we're going to do is we're going to take up a collection, go to our Facebook page. I'll have it truly posted as soon as CYFD allows me to tell you about it.
Right.
So I didn't tell no one.
It's sensitive information.
It is. But here's the deal. We have so many people that when they hear the cry of somebody in need, that they come out. Now, let me say this. I don't want your junk. We want your good stuff.
Right.
Because if we're going to bless someone in the name of the Lord, we're going to bless them with good stuff.
Yeah, I like that. Absolutely.
And, we've done this before. It was pretty cool. You know, we had someone gave us a dresser that their father made coming back from World War II.
Whoa.
And it was handcrafted. It was so awesome. And it was so neat carrying that in.
Yeah.
And giving it to this family. And they were like, that is the coolest thing. And I just thought to myself, those people truly gave from their heart.
Yeah, they did.
That's pretty awesome.
Cool. Wow. That's amazing. We're going to post all the information, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can get there. It's facebook.com/mystaticradio. Get all the details on what's going on with the Aspen Project, with Project Zoe. Mm-hmm. It is a season of giving. And
We don't ask for money. You guys, I come on here a lot, and I'd love to support this radio. But it is the end of the year. We are a 501c3.
Yes.
You can go to any of our websites. project-zoe.org or aspenproject.org, and there's a give if you need to, you know, because some people need to do their tax write-offs and are looking for a 501c3. We'd appreciate it. We got a lot of projects coming up in 2015 that are big, and unfortunately the bigger they are, the more they cost. The Lord provides, so if you don't feel like giving, don't. But we're trying to do good things, and the more we have, the more we do. We try to stay broke all the time because we use the money.
Yeah.
We have no paid staff.
That's good, man.
But you know, the other thing is that there are so many kids in need right now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I'm
Absolutely.
Talking foster care, adoption, mentorship programs. I've touched the hand of two people this week that have tried to commit suicide in the last month.
Wow.
And I just want to tell you guys, you know, suicide, first of all, is a temporary solution. I mean, it's a permanent solution for a temporary problem.
Yeah.
And if you guys, anyone needs to talk about stuff like that, you call me 410-4460. Because I really do care. I joke around a lot. I don't care where you're at in your life. I've probably already been there myself. And if I haven't, I know people that have. So we can get you through it. And this season is a tough time for a lot of people. On the toy drive side of things, we need older kid toys.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of kids that the request is like 14, 16, 17-year-olds. And a lot of the toys that are being brought in, we appreciate them all, but they're for little kids.
Yeah.
Or if you just like to drop off a gift card to anywhere that sells big boy and girl toys, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But special thanks to everybody who's come alongside us and just gave of themselves, of their resources, and of their time.
Yeah.
So many of our volunteers give of their time.
There you go. All right. Clay Schroth. Aspen Project, Project Zoe. The details are posted at our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be hanging out with Nathan Foster. He is an associate professor of social work and theology at Spring Arbor University. He is also the son of Richard J. Foster, who authored Celebration of Discipline. He's going to talk about his journey growing up in that system, if you will. He wrote a new book called The Making of an Ordinary Saint, his journey from frustration to joy with the spiritual discipline. So that's coming up in the entire 9 o'clock hour for Theology Thursday. Really excited about that. So stay with us. And again, all the details posted. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
My mama laid me on a blanket.
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, up and at 'em.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static radio.
Careful traffic.
Let's take a look at traffic, see if anything's going on. Looks like there's a little bit of congestion on 40 eastbound around 4th Street and 8th Street around that area. Doesn't look like an accident or anything. If there is, I don't see it on the map. Also, construction I-25 in Paseo and construction Rio Bravo Boulevard and Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That's your look at traffic right now.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon Sports. 4001 Osuna Road Northeast.
East.
On the Calvert Campus.
East.
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 You can give them a call. Yes. 505-338-3669. Ask to speak to Walt. And then ask him to rap to you.
He'll do it.
He'll do it.
He's a rapper extraordinaire, yo. That's how he does.
That's how he does.
Man, I'm really excited. We are 18 minutes away from hanging out with our boy Nathan Foster. He is an author. Wrote a book called The Making of an Ordinary Saint. And, dude, his pops is Richard J. Foster.
Nina.
His dad wrote a book that... back in 1978, actually, and many, many, many Christians used that back then and are still using it today. It's called Celebration of Discipline, and it's on the disciplines of the Christian faith. Do you know what they are?
Black horse.
One of them is Katy Perry.
Dark horse. Black horse.
One of the disciplines of the Christian faith is listening to Katy Perry and not singing along to it.
That's right.
Good luck.
Like
Ready?
This.
Oh, no.
We don't know what it is. Guys, we never heard this song. I don't know.
We're going to talk to him about the different spiritual disciplines. He wrote a book, The Making of an Ordinary Saint, his journey from frustrations to joy with the spiritual disciplines. It's coming up in 9 o'clock hour. Imagine growing up the kid of Richard J. Foster and just like, spiritual disciplines! It should be a celebration and it's exciting! Go meditate for an hour.
Get in your room and meditate. Don't come out till you've got a profound revelation from the Lord.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry. We're going to talk to him. I'm excited, dude. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour for Theology Thursday. And maybe you have a question about one of the spiritual disciplines. Maybe you don't know what they are. Maybe you have some frustrations with your walk with the Lord. Whether it's meditation, solitude, service, confession. We're going to get into all of those. Submission being a big one as well. That word submission. Fasting. A lot of people don't know how to fast. How to fast. So we're really excited about that. We're going to talk to them about the spiritual disciplines. Again, that's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Until then, though, we're going to talk about awesome things like Christmas time
And Christmas trees and Christmas things and Christmas me's.
We posted the question of the day, facebook.com/mystaticradio. It's Christmas time. We are 14 days away from Christmas.
Boom, 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 boom.
And we started asking the question of...
Is this our guy?
That's our boy. That's our boy.
This is him.
He kind of looks like Reese.
Oh, no. Don't put that on him.
Sorry. We were talking this morning about Christmas wish lists. Is it acceptable? When are you too old to write a Christmas list?
Well, so far, most people have said that you can't be too old for it.
All right.
And we've even had a couple of people say, now I know I need to make a list.
Yeah, my wife actually sent me something for our kids, and it got me excited.
What'd she say?
She found a list of ideas, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Of how to shop for your kids. She said, dude, this one, the 4-gift rule. One thing they want, one thing they need, one thing they wear, one thing they read.
I have a different thing.
I love that!
I have a different 4.
Okay.
One thing they want, one thing they need, one thing of Play-Doh, and one for Mateo.
Okay.
Is that right?
No.
One thing for Mateo. I don't want Play-Doh. One thing for Mateo.
Made of Play-Doh?
No. One thing they want, one thing they need, one thing of Play-Doh, and one thing from Mateo.
I got you.
Preferably not Play-Doh. If you give me Play-Doh, I'll do something. I mean, I'll appreciate it. If somebody gives me a gift, I appreciate it.
We already got them the one thing they need.
What?
For Black Friday, we all went out together as a family. And
I thought you meant them as the general public.
No, the Jeter boys. Okay. We went out on Black Friday and got them solid gloves for spring ball.
That's good.
They both play baseball.
Oh, yeah. Those are very nice gloves.
Yes.
They're very
crazy expensive gloves, but it was Black Friday, so we got them on super sale. So they already got the one thing they need. Because they need that to be better at their craft, if you will.
Amber says she actually did a list this year because she was hoping for iTunes gift cards the last 3 years. Nobody listened to the voices in her head but her. She found that out. She says, I know I'm an adult, but I am the kind of person that cannot stand to spend money on entertainment like music. I need other people to pay for it.
I feel that.
Oh, and then Kyra said she'd been listening this morning and she's learned that she needs to make a list for her husband.
Yeah.
So he knows what to get.
It's true. I apologize to my wife, but we're dudes. We're kind of dummies sometimes. We pay attention. And what I need to learn is to write it down. Because there will be times we're out shopping or we're doing something and Chrissy goes, oh, I love that. And I go, all right, mental note. I'm going to remember that she said she wanted that. And in 6 months, totally still going to remember
I'm going to do this.
I'm going to get her this.
Mental notes are my forte.
Yeah.
I've got this.
And
3 minutes later.
Yeah.
What was I thinking?
Squirrel.
Why didn't I write that down? It was so important. What was it? Started Samsonite.
Oh, it was way off.
Ah, I knew it started with an S, though.
Static!
I've been wanting a pair of Beats, but no one's willing to spend like $200 to $300 on a pair of headphones.
Yeah, I understand that.
I'll tell you what, man. Teo and I both use Beats for the morning show. They are battery powered.
They're the worst,
man. You don't know.
They're the worst.
Ahead of time. They take AAA batteries, and so midway through show, all of a sudden it'll just be like.
Yeah.
And you can't hear anything because your battery's died. You're like, what?
They were given to us as a gift.
Oh.
And we're stoked about the gift aspect of it. But the battery part is not the best.
Yes. I'll tell you what. -5. They have -5 for battery power.
It would be awesome if a wizard could cast a spell on these things and the batteries always work.
Always operating.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, what you need to do if you get a pair of Beats, you need to contact a licensed wizard and get them.
Mage.
Please.
Yes.
And get them to cast a spell on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Because for us, AAA
for instance, mine just went out.
Did they?
Yep.
You can't hear anything right now.
I just turned them back on.
Okay.
I found that if they go out, if you turn them off and then turn them back on, a lot of times
for a minute
they'll keep going for a little while.
They try. So I'm telling you, they are the flashiest headphones, and they're the ones that like everybody wants because the athletes and everybody's using them. But I'll tell you right now, this battery thing is not working out
for me. I feel
like
they lean towards dark magic as opposed to like, you know, white magic, like good. I feel like these on the magic scale, these are like definitely...
Beats by Draenor.
Yeah. Beats by Orc.
You know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go now.
Okay, bye. Thanks, man. We made him uncomfortable, and he left. Man. Damn.
What?
We made him leave.
No, no.
Like,
he
was socially
We gave him knowledge. Oh, I can't imagine that he was socially uncomfortable. I can't imagine that. Guys, give us a call. Tell us, what do you do about your Christmas list?
338-3700. Do you write out a Christmas list, or do you expect your loved ones to know?
Do they know?
They're supposed to know you well enough.
Will you hand me two of the batteries under that thing? There they are.
Guys, this is our life.
This really did have
Welcome
my,
to Beats
my
by
headphones
Dre.
Really did. They just
We have to
done.
Buy a box of batteries.
It's so stupid.
So that we could...
So did we talk about technological advancement?
Remember how we were like, nah, dude, but LeBron James wears Beats. We need Beats for our morning show.
I wonder if Michael would have worn them. Michael would have worn them.
Yeah. He Heck yeah, worn bro. All my favorite athletes wear these, and they don't do radio at all.
And now...
This has got to be a good idea.
Now they can't even wear them because of that thing with Bose, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Bose knows.
That's NFL.
Oh, that's NFL.
Yeah, NFL signed an exclusive agreement with
Bose. I thought Bose played every sports.
Yeah. Static.
Yeah, hey, Mateo, I just got to say, you're the best thing that ever happened to the morning show.
What? What the
You definitely are, man. I swear, you guys are the best team in the world.
Hey, listen, I want you to call in anytime you want to, man. Anytime you feel like it, you go ahead and call him in. Doug, get his name. Yeah. And when he calls, you put him on through.
Hey, wait. This is Derek.
About the beat, right?
Boom. Boom.
It is? Derek, hang on, you're cutting out.
Yeah, start over because your phone's cutting out. So what you need for Christmas is a new phone. Or a better provider.
Can you hear me?
Is it an Android?
We can
you got an
now.
Android phone?
We can hear you now.
It's a six, dude. It's a six!
You got a six?
Doug just got the smuggest smile I've ever seen.
Of course he did. He's an Android guy, and we're trying to convert him, man, and it's not working out.
Dude, I'm telling you, Apple's the way to go. And you get discounts on Beats if you get your phone to an iPhone 6. You upgrade
No way!
It. Yeah, you get like 20% off. Well, I wanted to let you know. So that's what I did, right? I went and got the six, and then I bought me some Beats for Christmas. My wife was like, you know what? Hey, if you want to buy you your own present, you know, that's fine. So I was like, yes, I do want to. And I went and bought me the Beats 2 wireless.
Yeah.
Those batteries, it's like a built-in battery. You just charge it with your USB. They will last you for like 2-3 days.
No way.
Yeah, they're expensive, but... So I get the whole battery thing for the studio, so if you guys were able to go wireless at all, I mean, you could still, it's a built-in Bluetooth. They're just amazing, dude, and they last like 3 days.
Here's my thing. I always feel like an idiot with these things on, because I've always used little earbuds. Yeah. I love those little, like, then nobody, and I'm not, like, whenever I'm listening to music, I'll like, and especially, like, on an airplane with headphones,
right.
I'll pop one of the earbuds out and say, hey, is that too loud
See?
To my buddy? Because I hate when somebody is sitting by you, and
I'm
this
the
is what you get, like,
one.
It's going.
That's me.
And
That's
then
me.
You're like, oh, you listening to the new Rise Against album?
Yeah, I can almost hear
Yeah, because you're on track 7. You're about 2 minutes in. Turn it down!
That's so awesome, dude.
I've been in radio since 03, and I'm used to these big, giant headphones.
Yeah.
So I'm the obnoxious one sitting next to him on the airline, watching Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, cracking up with my noise-canceling headphones, so nobody can hear anything except...
Oh, my God!
Oh, that Ted! Oh, he's crazy! Teo, can you hear this?
Yes, I'm right beside you.
Can you hear this? Oh, man!
And then you hear, ding! Stewardess, there's a strange man beside me.
Yeah.
Strange man.
Pretty
this
much.
Is it. This loud guy. Yeah, you've heard him.
Noise-canceling headphones are the best and worst, because it's great for, you know, just trying to drown everything out. It's the worst when you have a friend sitting within 10 feet of you, because you're trying to talk to him at normal range, and it's like, hey!
Hey, dude! This song is amazing!
It always goes like this. It's like, hey, dude! This song, was that loud?
Sorry. Am I loud? Am I loud?
The melody is strong!
Dude, you guys are the best ever, man.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks, Carl.
You too.
Bye.
505-338-3700, the phone number.
If you're going to give me compliments, you can call in anytime you want.
All day, air day, guys.
All day, air day.
Oh, man. It is Thursday. We are just a few moments away from joining Nathan
Foster. I just
threw
out a Guardians of the Galaxy reference, and Daniel got it.
Oh, I wasn't even...
The melody is pleasing!
Oh, that's right.
That's what she said.
Totally.
That's what she said.
Totally. I'm sorry. I had noise-canceling headphones on. I didn't get it. I couldn't hear you. Got a few minutes until Theology Thursday. It's going to be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Foster will be joining us. He wrote a book called The Making of an Ordinary Saint.
That's right.
We're going to dig into the spiritual disciplines, if you will. His pops kind of pioneered that whole thing in the 70s.
Is Richard he going to stick around for the whole hour?
Yeah. Got him for the whole hour.
Oh, no.
Hanging out with us. So that's coming up. Stay close.
You guys ever talk to somebody you don't really know for an hour on the phone? We're going to do it today.
Right around the corner on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo. Featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Yep. Welcome to Theology Thursday.
Oh, man. Today's going to be fun.
They left the experts for you.
They did. We would like to thank Jarrett and Beenix for both not coming in today.
Yeah, Beenix had a really rough night having fun with Doyle Dykes.
Yeah. And I don't even know where Jarrett is. Who knows? He's probably on the lamb. And I don't mean the sacrificial lamb, you know what I'm saying.
I've been really excited for this show because a few years ago, my wife gave me a book by Richard J. Foster called Celebration of Discipline. It's all about the spiritual disciplines of the Christian faith. And it was like, what? Spiritual disciplines? What is this hippy-dippy stuff?
That is the opposite of hippy-dippy stuff.
That's true, actually. It's all like discipline. And so I had a chance to check it out. Super loved it. Well, his son... Nathan Foster, he's an associate professor of social work and theology at Spring Arbor University. He holds the Andrews Chair in Spiritual Formation, Director of Teaching Ministries for Renovare, licensed clinical social worker, certified addictions counselor, public speaker.
Wow.
He's an author as well. He wrote a book called The Makings of an Ordinary Saint, His Journey from Frustration to Joy with the Spiritual Disciplines, and having him on this morning... Really excited.
Doug just gave me the saddest look.
Booked the interview weeks and weeks ago.
Yeah.
Contacted through his publicist.
Oh, Doug's writing something down.
It was happening.
Oh, man, Doug.
It was an exciting time in our life.
Pretty sure he hit ignore.
It's good, man.
Maybe he's counseling someone.
Maybe he is. Maybe he just forgot.
Wait, maybe this is a very meta lesson, and he's teaching us patience.
Patience, yes.
Yes.
Because one of the spiritual disciplines, we're looking through the spiritual disciplines.
And there's patience in there.
So, yeah, submission, fasting.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know.
Today is going to be
solitude,
mighty.
Meditation. Confession.
Confusion.
Yeah. Simplicity.
Agitation.
So we've cut back on the guests and hosts of Theology Thursday.
We wanted to keep it simple,
the
stupid.
Spiritual discipline of simplicity. We wanted to, cut away our co-hosts and our guest, actually. And just see how we
just
could
bring it back
how
to
we
right
do
here.
It.
Oh, Doug? Doug?
Thankfully!
Thankfully.
Oh! Thank you, Jesus!
Amen.
Joining us on the phone right now. Nathan Foster, are you with us, sir?
I am.
Bro!
Thank you. We decided you were giving us a very meta spiritual lesson on discipline and patience.
It was like, okay. I get it.
The lesson.
Yes. We totally got it, dude. We got it.
Okay, you can stop now.
So, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Sorry about that.
Dude, totally cool. We were...
The show is called Theology Thursday, and normally we have some amazing pastors in with us, and they're like, oh, this is so deep, and we're talking all of these great theological things, and we're kind of like the idiot co-hosts.
Call them lay people.
Yes, there you go. We're the morons, and so both of the like pastors were hey, you're going to have Nathan Foster on. You're good, man. You don't need us today. So it's just the morons, and then we couldn't get you, and we're like, oh, crap.
We're like, well, the Lord is good.
Well, it's Christmas.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, but you I might be another moron here for you.
Dude,
but,
hey, no, we want to talk New
book,
Earth,
man.
Old Earth. I'm just kidding. You wrote words in a book. You're good.
You wrote a book.
Welcome to the show. First and foremost, I want to say I was really excited about this interview. We were talking about this earlier in the show because a few years ago, my wife said, I got this book and you got to check it out. And it was Celebration of Discipline. And I was like, okay, I don't know much about fasting or meditating or what is this hippy dippy crap? And it blew my mind, not going to lie. And so I was really excited. And then fast forward a few years and I'm like, he had children? And one of them's freaking awesome and wrote a book? We got to get this guy on. And then I started thinking about what it would have been like to have been Richard Foster's kid.
Yes.
And growing up in a system of like, all right, son, it's 2:30. Go to your room and meditate. We'll see you in 3 hours. Learn something.
Yeah. So now tell us your story.
Oh, you nailed it. That's exactly it, a regimen of spiritual discipline. No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Good. That's good, actually.
That's cool.
Tell us a little bit about this project that you decided, you know, The Making of an Ordinary Saint. I did have a chance to read a little bit of it yesterday. I got it just yesterday.
He was cramming that
I was
thing.
Trying to cram through because I was really, really excited for today. And, tell us a little bit about your journey to making this book and how it began to begin with.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, essentially the book is so my dad wrote Celebration of Discipline, 1978, 12 spiritual disciplines, classic spiritual disciplines, things like prayer, fasting, meditation, service, submission, confession, etc. And essentially what I did was take a four-year journey of practicing each of those disciplines intensely and intentionally, and then writing a narrative of my experiences, what worked, what didn't work, what I learned from it all.
Yeah.
That was the project, and it came together pretty nicely. There's some interesting things that I learned in doing it.
Let's talk about this, because our audience, I would say, is split. We're a little different ministry, if you will. We are a quote-unquote Christian radio station. However, we play mainstream music. We play, you know, so you'll hear the Foo Fighters on here. You'll hear so good music mixed in with, I'm just kidding, you know, mixed in with the,
he's not
you've
kidding.
Got the classic crime in there. You've got some Amberlin, some Switchfoot, then you've got some Dave Matthews. You've got, so we've got a pretty solid blend of music on the station. So I'd say our audience is pretty split. You know, we've got people who have grown up in the church, people who are just jaded, people who have never had an encounter with Jesus. So I want to kind of start at the beginning. You know, Mateo and I, we grew up in Christian homes and had very similar journeys. You know, you kind of get to college and then you're like, what's going on? And I know you talked about this in your introduction. We're both now in our 30s and haven't had the crazy midlife crisis just yet. We're starting to feel
I'm
it.
Working on mine.
We've both already written out plan B for when we just jump on a sailboat and get the out of here. And but it hasn't happened quite yet. So before we totally break down,
we're learning maritime law.
Yeah, run.
We want to get out there and be a little more prepared. It takes a while. I don't
it
know.
Really does.
I don't know if you've seen Arrested Development, but maritime law can be a little confusing.
So before we do something like that, it can be a little overbearing, you know, thinking about this Christian faith. And for those that are kind of new to it, where do you go? You know, you have this encounter with Jesus, your life changes forever, quote unquote. But then you wake up one day and you're like, dude, my life still kind of sucks at times, and I still have these issues, and this isn't solving it. These sermon series aren't nailing it down. I bought this purpose-driven life book, and 40 days later, my life still kind of sucks. And so, can we talk a little bit about this? Because I know immediately you addressed the idea of an athlete and a really training and working towards these disciplines, because I know for me, when I read Celebration of Discipline, your father's book, it was like, oh man, all right, I got this. I'm setting my alarm an hour earlier. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to do all these things. And 2 weeks later, I was like, dude, getting up early, an hour earlier sucks. I'm not disciplined enough. Let's just start with one of these things here and see how long I can last. And it seems like this to-do list of how to get it right instantaneously. How wrong do we have it?
Dead wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, the disciplines are not about a list of have-tos. They're not about, kind of spiritual drudgery. Think in terms of them as they lead us to freedom. They lead us to a life of love for others, love for God, love for self, lead us to a life of grace. But so often we approach them like we do anything else in life, with this sense of achievement that's, that if I don't do this right, then I failed. And really the disciplines are things that activities we get to do as an active response to God's love for us. And it's a life that we're invited into. To kind of touch back a little bit, I think, and I start the book, it's a little jokey in a sense, but that, this is having a midlife crisis or some of the midlife issues of, being in my mid-30s and kind of going, is this all there is to life?
Right.
And so looking for a project, and I kind of, make a joke. It wasn't a joke. It's true. My brother joined the Air Force at his late 30s and went off to war.
I didn't even know that was possible.
Well, he's a psychologist, doctor.
Okay.
And so they take you when you're old, I guess. So, and I told him, I said, man, you should have, I don't know, had an affair or something.
Bought a convertible. Yeah.
How can you just have an affair? Like a normal human.
Yeah, do it right. Yeah, right. Buy a boat and sink it,
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, I kind of say this was my midlife. So my midlife issues was to really jump into the spiritual life. Yeah. And I think, and, people disagree with this, and that's fine, but I think that a lot of times in church life, that people who are really wanting something deeper or seeking something deeper kind of have a hard time finding that in kind of our seeker-friendly churches. And so for me, it really was just about, I want to dig a little bit deeper and see what I find.
Yeah.
Going monk was the thought I had with
guys,
it.
I'm going monk.
Going monk. And I don't mean that OCD guy in USA.
Right.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. Right. No.
So, okay, you decided you're going monk. Were you, you're married now, you have two children. Were you married at the time, when you decided to go monk? How did your wife feel when you said, I'm going monk?
Well, I think she was interested in what I was doing.
Okay.
And kind of, not roll her eyes, but just okay, go for it, see what happens.
Right.
One of the things,
monk, right?
This one I didn't write about in there was I did a sex fast.
Okay.
That one was a little tricky, but other than that,
you went full monk.
See, that's what I'm saying. I was like, well, did you go full monk? Because that...
Nathan, you never go full monk.
You can't go full monk.
You can't do this,
bro.
Man.
You just can't.
That's right.
It is. I mean, like I said, we are a different kind of radio station. Feel free to talk away about that. So you didn't write that in your book.
Probably. I didn't.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because on the, it's 12 different disciplines. I spent time just kind of doing, some of them were kind of weird, or I did different things with them. But what ultimately happened is that I had a lot of experiences that just didn't fit to put in the book.
Yeah.
So for fasting, I did a bunch of food fast. I fasted from technology, fasted from shopping. And so it just, I had too much to say in those other areas, and so it just didn't fit to talk about my sex fast.
I'm glad that you're bringing up fasting, though, because it's almost like a foreign word in the modern Christian culture. You know, people talk about fasting and prayer, and people go, yeah, yeah, I pray, you know. But let's dig into fasting a little bit. First of all, define that.
Yeah, fasting is voluntarily depriving yourself of a normal function for the sake of spiritual growth.
I like that.
So I give up something that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately what fasting does is it shows all the problem areas in our life.
Right.
And I write in the book, I said, I already know what I suck at. I mean, I don't really need any help with that.
Yeah, right.
But it does bring it up. I mean, it brings up stuff for sure.
Now, I can't remember if it was you or your father that wrote in the beginning, because, you know, your dad had the intro, if you will, and got it going, but kind of defining the fact that today's modern Christian culture, there's like the two aspects where we're fluffy and we're false and we're kind of, you know, I can only listen to worship music and I'm just going to put on my game face 24/7 and just be fake awesome, even though my life's kind of in shambles right now, or I'm confused about something, or I don't know what to do, but I can't show this weakness. Or on the flip side, we've kind of made it okay, like, we're all filthy sinners, we're all wretched, let's just wallow in our crap and we'll never get better. It was kind of gutter to the cross, I believe is the term used. And I thought that was a fascinating way to put it, because it's true. There's kind of, there isn't necessarily a balance. It seems like we either sway one way where it's just like all fluffy rainbows and everything's perfect and kind of, you know, smiley face, the best you now, kind of Joel Osteen, hey man, everything's working perfect all the time. And then the other side where it's like, you are all trash!
Yeah.
Wretched like man a pendulum. That I am!
You're either one extreme or the other extreme.
Yeah, and there's kind of no middle ground. Can we try and find that balance right now in the next hour and kind of work through that? Because it seems like we all have it wrong.
Well, I mean, that's what, man, I love the way you say that, because it's right on. And both are problematic.
Yeah.
And certainly the first place we start is being honest. And, I mean, it's for some reason or another, our religious institutions, probably is the case for in most religions, but they become some of the most dishonest places in our society, which is ironic, because it's that shouldn't be that way.
Right.
But at any rate, so we start with being honest about who we are. But the beautiful thing is we don't have to stay in our messes.
Yeah.
And that's where the disciplines come in, is that if in practicing them, what happens is that God takes our little effort and does something really cool with it and enables us to become people who are able to live life well.
Yeah.
So in practicing these for years, this isn't 40 days or even 40 months. It's a 40-year journey. But in doing so, we find that the kind of habits or the destructive things in our life, that God's able to help wash those away. And really, it's just about growing spiritually.
Yeah.
I think we'd be honest about both, honest about areas of growth and ways that we're doing better than we used to, but also being honest people, authentic people.
Now, I like that, because it leads into one of the spiritual disciplines, confession. And I know when you think of confession, there's kind of a few schools of thought. You think of Catholicism, and you think of going into this little box and kind of confessing everything to this one dude. There are other churches where it's like, you must confess everything at all times to every, go before the church and tell everyone all of your sins. That's kind of a confusing thing, because at times people can in turn think, okay, I got to tell everyone what I'm thinking at all times. I've sinned against this person. I need to immediately go to them without using any form of discernment and just blab my entire life to the world. And then they're wondering what happened when they are confused and alone, because
nobody
people
trusts
are judgmental.
Them.
Yeah. Nobody trust. And then how can you trust anyone after you've confessed and everybody has kind of just used that against you? So I'd love to dig into to that one specifically for confession, because I know you visited all of the states you lived in and you were making some confessions. But can we talk about biblical confession for a minute?
Sure. I mean, confession's something that people, most likely Christians, are comfortable doing individually.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, confessing our sins to God individually. But the idea of doing it corporately or doing it with someone else, it's something entirely different, and there are abuses of that, certainly. And it isn't something that we just jump into and tell everybody our junk. That can be so destructive. Mm. So we got to be wise about it. But one of the things my dad says on confession is that if, you know, confessing your wrongs before God doesn't give you the relief, or it feels like it's still kind of hanging on, yeah, then confess it to someone else, and that's very biblical. Confess your sins one to another.
Yeah.
And I think about confession, I mean, it sucks, and it's painful, but I really think about it as a freedom. After having done it and a number of times, boy, it feels good.
Right.
And I feel kind of okay. Mm-hmm.
So talk about your experience with confession when you were on this journey through the making of an ordinary saint, and
yeah,
how your trips went.
Well, I started with just going, you know what would be kind of cool is to go back to a place where I'd done some stuff that I felt was wrong, and to bring a friend along and to just kind of lay it out there and tell him what I did wrong. So we did that, and it was just this fantastic experience, and it enabled me to feel just a freedom that I'd never felt for some of those things. Yeah. And then I just sat and looked at my calendar and thought, oh, wow, I'm going to every place this year I've ever lived. And I thought, dude, I'm going to make this my redemption tour. Yeah. I'm going to do this practice at yes, every place on location. And I honestly just kind of had fun with it. And again, you know, it's uncomfortable looking at ourselves and the messes we make is difficult. But every time, without fail, the person I had confessed to was very gracious and oftentimes gave some insight into me and my life and my situation that was very helpful.
It sounds kind of like a My Name is Earl.
You're like,
I'm going to write a list of everyone I've wronged and go back and do something cool for them, man.
Yep.
But it's great because, a lot of times, confession is a scary thing because you build it up in your brain like, all right, I'm going to go tell this person this thing, and they're going to punch me in the face.
Punch.
They're going to, you know, and you just start thinking about all the worst case scenarios, and it doesn't seem like that really happened with you, that once you confessed your sin, you had these incredible experiences.
Did you have any negative experiences?
Well, I should clarify on it. I wasn't, you know, making amends in
right,
the My Name is Earl sense. It was more just, you know, taking a person and just saying to them, you know, kind of having them as my priest in a sense.
Okay.
Now, I have done that, the making of amends, and in recovery, 12-step making amends. And, you know, in that kind of model, the idea is that you only do so when it's not going to be harmful to someone else.
Right.
So sometimes our making amends is just, it can be just about us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Making it to kind of removing the guilt from
yeah,
you, making yourself feel better.
It's
yep,
like a quick
fix of another human.
You know that if you go and you're like, well, if I do this, I'll just tell them I'm sorry and then I'm good.
And I'm good, man.
I did all I needed
right,
to do.
And
man,
I just dug this up for someone and
right,
it yeah, becomes destructive
and
to
then
them,
you ruin so, their life.
I'm so glad yeah, you bring that up because it's true. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it seems like there's this idea of total, complete honesty, no matter the cost, period, the end, even if it destroys this random person's life,
yeah,
because I got to get this off my chest.
Yeah.
Well, our honesty can really be selfish and can be destructive.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I find for making amends, I mean, the stuff from the past, I think it's best to have someone else walking you through that.
Mm.
So to go through, you know, here are the things I've done, and I would like to go to these people, or I feel like I need to, and having someone else guide us through that process,
yeah.
I think really critical. And again, those, you know, if you're making direct amends to people, that's about them. That's not about you.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff you're just going to have to live with because
yeah,
it could be hurtful to other people.
Man, that's so, I'm so glad you said that because
yeah,
that is something that I don't think the church hears enough.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's everybody just kind of we make it into a to-do list and
mm-hmm,
we only take it at face value and you don't think about the consequences. You can devastate other people and at its
yeah,
like, at its heart, you're totally totally just making yourself feel better. That's all you're doing. You're just making yourself feel better, and you're not thinking about the other person. And then the ripple effects. It could, like, really destroy a lot of things.
Yeah.
So important you said that. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
thanks.
Absolutely. Man, talking with Nathan Foster, author of The Making of an Ordinary Saint. And let's talk about some of these spiritual disciplines. I want to talk about the first one that you bring up, which is submission, which is a difficult word for not just Christians. I feel like anyone, you know, especially, you know, even my non-Christian friends, where it's just like, well, Christianity, it's all about the wife submitting.
Well, it ain't difficult for me because I'm a man.
Yeah, right. So,
that's my favorite word I ever heard.
But what is spiritual discipline? What is the spiritual discipline of submission? What is submission truly in the Christian faith?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was really funny. I was talking to my dad about this discipline. I said, man, I don't think there's a discipline that's more abused biblically where people use this to oppress other people.
Amen.
And it was so funny. He goes, well, at that point, it's no longer biblical. If you're using it to oppress people, that's not biblical submission.
Right.
I thought, oh, that's pretty clever. Submission is about a death to self. In one sense, I mean, I didn't do it on purpose, but I started the book with that discipline just because that's the discipline that found me. But I think it's a good kind of template for the disciplines is that it is about us laying down our chronic desire to have our own way.
Yeah.
And all the disciplines fit with that. Submission's about freedom. And if I voluntarily submit to God or to another person, and it puts me in a way to where they're not able to abuse me, in a sense, because I'm choosing to let this happen.
Mm.
I found, for me, it was really weird, because the way the book started is I'm riding my bike. You guys will love this. 112 miles.
Ugh. Hate? What are you talking about? That sounds awful.
You'll hate. You'll
I don't even like driving in a car for 112 miles.
It's 2 days.
Miles.
One day, 112. You turn around, ride back another 112.
Wow.
Which is, you know, that's one thing. But the real issue was the wind. It was the craziest wind I've ever seen in my life. And I'm going headlong into it. Awful. Just misery.
Mm-hmm.
I meet this guy who seems to like it. He's this crazy old guy, and he says he gets mad at me because I'm like, dude, that wind sucked.
Right.
And he looks at me like I just criticized his dog. And
That's my wind.
Yeah, what is wrong with you? He's like, he's talking about all these beautiful things about, did you notice the leaves changing? Did you notice the hawk? And he just looks at me and he's like, submit to it. Quit fighting it. And so I'm like, whatever. And I go about my day,
right,
pushing in, going 2 miles an hour, trying as hard as I can. And suddenly I just thought, all right, let me try this. So I quit, like, fighting it and just went with it. And what I noticed was everything changed. My body, I quit trying, flexing my muscles. I quit, you know, gritting my teeth and just kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a really good metaphor for when we submit to God. Is that it just, we catch this groove, and then it fits for other people, too, as times when we voluntarily choose to submit to another person for one reason or another.
So it's crazy, because you're submitting, but you're still kind of in charge, so are you submitting? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's a great
point. It's so meta.
That's a great point. Yeah,
well, is it really
control.
Submission because you're choosing to relinquish control? So you made the choice. Now we're going to get into Calvinism versus Arminian. I'm just kidding.
Don't let him do this to you, Nathan.
Well, we can look at the life of Jesus and the death. The crucifixion, that was, he submitted to the leaders.
Yeah.
And he submitted to the, you know, what they wanted to do. But there is this, you're right on in the sense that it's empowerment.
Yeah.
You're not, I'm not losing something. If I let you take it, you're not taking it.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to you.
Mm. It's pretty incredible. Man, an amazing journey. I'm really excited to get through the rest of this. And honestly, to try and
bring back some of these disciplines that when I read your father's book, it was like, yes, dude, on point, bro. I'm totally going to rock these every day and just totally own this. And again, like 2 weeks later, it was like, this is hard and I'm totally done and kind of right back into, but I got to binge watch on Netflix. That's just as important. Why would I want to grow in my Christian faith when they put all of the How I Met Your Mothers on Netflix?
Well, it's interesting because what I think happens is that what people will enter the disciplines for a couple of reasons. One, it's kind of enthusiasm and like will be kind of heroic and extreme. Like, I'm, you know, I'm getting, like you mentioned, I'm getting up an hour early to pray. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to go fast for a week and we get all intense with it, which is just stupid.
Yeah.
it just sets us up to fail.
Right.
And then the other thing we'll do, which I think can be really destructive, is we enter into them out of guilt.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I got to be a good Christian, or I got to do this or that because so-and-so's doing it. And both of those set us up to fail.
Right.
So what I tell people is you just start right where you're at and begin small. Really small.
Yeah.
And for some people, I think the best discipline they need to do is just start getting some sleep.
Dude,
that's a huge
preach
point.
Preach it. Yes, absolutely. I think a lot of times sleep deprivation can affect our moods and our decision-making skills,
absolutely,
or lack thereof. People are running on high emotions and they're reactionary. And I could not agree more.
That's why we have youth camps. Because you get these kids, they stay up all night, and then they'll do anything you tell them to.
It's like manipulation. We could.
Oh,
well,
man.
And I think what happens is I mean, here's how I approach the discipline of sleep. Is saying, you know, God, why did you give me limitations?
Yeah.
Why did you design me with these kind of needs? And then respecting that process and taking sleep as a gift from God.
Yeah.
And then a way to position myself to where I'm able to be present to God. But sleep, you know, another great one I think for people to start with is just some silence. Take 5-10 minutes out of your day.
That one's really hard for me.
I was going to say,
I'll be like totally honest.
We work in radio, man.
Well, everybody turn your radio off for 5 minutes.
Turn it off right now.
but at the end of the hour, so at 10 o'clock, turn it off, but not until then. Got 30 minutes. So yeah,
that one
truly is difficult. I have three kids.
I have a hard time
constantly. Talk, you know, we're always going. There's a video game system running or a TV show.
Yeah.
And it's funny how that melds into the discipline of sleep as well, because there's a lot of mid-season finales right now, man. We're supposed to go to bed early because we got to get up at 4:30 to do this morning show. But I'm like, yeah, but Sons of Anarchy just ended, and we got Flash and Arrow and S.H.I.E.L.D. What am I supposed to do? Sleep? I can't sleep. Spoilers, man.
Yeah,
Twitter ruins everything.
For me, it's music and yes, totally social media and stuff like that. But I've always got a song in my head constantly. I'm like tapping on things because I'm
this
drumming or whatnot.
Musicians, man.
Bleh.
So,
well, it's our society. I mean, we just live really, really noisy lives.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably one of the most destructive things for someone wanting to have a spiritual life.
Yeah, I agree with that implicitly. I think that's why when we have retreats, usually here in New Mexico, you know, we get out to the mountains. There's no cell phone service.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there. And, you know, the first day you're like sweating like, what? But how do I update Instagram?
How am I supposed to live?
I just took a picture of this beautiful deer. I need everyone to see it. I need at least 80 likes on this.
I could get 80 likes on this deer. I know it. I've got eco-friendly friends.
So talking with this, you know, kind of simplicity, you know, because there's a few that kind of go hand in hand, whether it's solitude, simplicity, just kind of shutting down. In today's culture, how do we enact that?
Well, we learn how to live again in a way and be very intentional with it. I think it's just starting small.
Yeah.
So for some people, it probably is just taking a few minutes to be quiet.
This is my time.
Thomas Keating had a great quote. He said, the primary language of God is silence.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, what will happen is we'll enter into that and it'll freak us out.
Yeah.
And we'll get, you know, our thoughts will run crazy and I'll think of all the crap we got to do or didn't do or want to do. And sometimes it just takes a while to wash that out.
Mm.
It's a habit. I mean, you got to you got to practice it. And eventually it gets easier and easier, to where the point, like, for me, I crave it. Like when life is getting full, and I put it in my calendar, like an appointment,
you know,
20 minutes, just shut up and listen.
Yeah. It's so important because I agree, we don't do that often enough. The first thing that I started with recently is, you know, when I get home, family time, we got dinner. And then when I have time with just my wife and I, my phone is constantly going. So I've made it a point to go upstairs, plug my phone in, set it by the bed, and go, good night, phone. You're shutting down a couple hours early. And I'm not going to lie, the first night, I think I had a quote unquote bathroom break every 3 minutes to run upstairs and go, did anybody text me? Did I miss something on Instagram? You know, and it took a little while, but now it's like, okay, I can get through this. And when I get to bed, usually there really is like this laundry list of texts I miss or emails that I didn't check, but they were all still waiting for me. It was amazing how that happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I almost hesitate to talk about it because it feels like it's become a little worn. But I mean, some of the research on the rewiring of our brains and some of the things that technology is doing is really kind of frightening. I did a tech fast for a week, unplugged from everything, anything electronic, out the door. And I tell you what, I about had a panic attack.
I was going to say, what do you do? Like, that means cell phone. That means, how do you communicate with people?
Well, I just let everybody know I was going to be gone.
Okay.
And just, you know, hey, I did all these, you know, email bounces and just communicated that to everybody. And boy, you know, here's what happened. I mean, once I, like, it was that moment of letting it go or, like, make sure, did I tell everybody, did I, you know. And what happened almost immediately was this sense that, like, I'm going to let people down.
Yeah.
And people are going to want to get a hold of me, and they can't. And thought, good grief, what in the world's wrong with me? Do I care that much about everybody's opinion of me?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
It's shown every time somebody does not like our photo or does not, you know, do something. It's like, whoa, bro. We put more weight on comments and likes on social media than anything else. And really, is it because we care about what they're saying or because we just need that like?
Nuts. I mean, if you think about it in terms of the spiritual life, I mean, it's really, really destructive. And then our identity, our worth and values based on how clever we can be or, you know, how people think of us as opposed to being children loved by God unconditionally.
Yeah.
Really destructive. You know what happened to me, though? So once I got through the panic and unplugged everything, first day or so, I was just bored out of my mind. But, man, I loved it. Read a mess of books, like had some good conversations with people, got sleep. I have never gone back to technology in the same way.
That's amazing. Hmm. It's incredible how you can do that. On the phone, hanging out with Nathan Foster. He's the author of The Making of an Ordinary Saint, His Journey from Frustrations to Joy with the Spiritual Disciplines. Just kind of hanging out. If you have a question, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can also chime in studio@mystaticradio.com. I feel like I would go crazy a whole week without technology, but I also feel like that is so necessary. Oh, man.
You know what I'm doing? Okay, so I teach college, right?
Yeah.
And my students, I've seen it in the last 10 years. I mean, they have changed so much in the way they use technology. And, dude, I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, no.
Talking to, see, it's because you don't have your iPhone in front of you.
If you would have put a note in your phone.
If you hadn't set a reminder. I'm just kidding.
Then I'll say this.
It's okay, man. Do you want to take a moment?
You teach college.
Kids, dude, the last 10 years.
And the differences with how kids use technology.
Well, I think, man, difference how technology has changed the world.
Well,
it's crazy.
A while ago you were talking about that, and I just thought about how when I was in college, we didn't have, you know, Twitter.
I had a pager.
I remember getting a Facebook. I got a Facebook when you had to be enrolled in a state college.
Yeah.
And I was at Mississippi State. I grew up in Mississippi, and that was the way you got a Facebook, was if you had to be in college, you know, and that's when it all changed.
See, and that's the one thing that I have not gone back to. I got rid of my Facebook a few years ago because I realized destructive nature of my ego.
Yeah.
And I got rid of Facebook. And the funny thing is, now when I tell people, you know, like, oh, dude, we'll connect on Facebook. And I say, actually, I don't have a Facebook. It's like I'm this alien. Like, what?
Well, part of that, too, is because the next line is, but I do have a MySpace.
I do not.
And then everybody's like, come on, man. Who are you? He's like, I'm walking in humility, man.
Yeah.
Because it's my space.
I thought of it. I got it.
All right, go. Go,
I got
hurry.
The thought. I'm waiting for the revolution. Ooh. Like, this generation to rise up and go, it'll probably be this generation's kids, but this kind of hippie-esque movement that just totally unplugs.
I feel like it's happening, man. You know, vinyl is, like, just strong right now.
It is.
I have been buying vinyl like it's gold, and so I feel like it's music just kind of making this, hopefully making a comeback to, like, the simpler things and teach my kids about, like, records, guys. Hey, back in our day... You had to use your hands.
I got the right. I like vinyl.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see people just, I mean, I can hear them going, you guys aren't living life. I mean, you're just staring at little boxes.
Right.
And, you know, let's figure this out again. But I think it'll take a generation or two where people really just say, let's find a different way to live because this is not working.
I think you think there's a cry out for that right now because you notice the themes of television, of film, you know, some of the best shows on TV right now. The Walking Dead strips everything away. The Rise and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, freaking amazing. It's kind of like this stripped away revolution. All these shows.
Secret Life of Walter Mitty. I don't know if you saw that.
It's a little bit
different scenario, but that's totally the whole thing is he finally gets out of his head.
Yeah.
And goes out and lives his life.
Maybe there's a cry for that.
If we want to be honest with it, it's an addiction.
Yeah.
And a really pervasive and socially acceptable addiction.
Yeah.
It's an issue. It concerns me watching my students, to be honest. I mean, I do this thing where I say in class, I'm like, look, this is a tech-free zone. And, you know, for an hour and a half, let's leave it at the door. And so here's what I tell them. I said, I'll drop you a letter grade if you text in my class.
Wow.
Dang,
just
dude.
Straight up, drop you a letter grade. Guess what? They still do it.
Whoa.
Every semester, I have one or two students who they hide under their desk, you know?
That's crazy.
That's an addiction to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
sick. Full letter grade.
And
that's
a lot of
awesome.
Times there are things that we don't even think about. I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine, we were talking, and he was like, dude, ask me about my day. And I was like, oh, all right. And I realized we'd been hanging out for a solid 45 minutes, and I was talking about all of my crazy great adventures in my life and not one thing yet about what was going on in his world. And we had met up for lunch because he really needed to talk to me.
Tie that into the spiritual life, I mean, to me, the life of Jesus calls us to learn to be present.
Amen.
To God and to others.
Yeah.
And so anything that keeps us from being present to God and others is potentially, can be an idol to us.
Yeah, my wife directly thereafter said, hey, okay, we're going to, you know, we small group, you know, we have this thing now called Connect Group, and we were, you know, involved in a small group at the time, and she said, I'm challenging you, dude, go to this thing tonight and don't talk about yourself at all. Just learn things about everybody else.
Yes.
And it was like, oh man, slow to speak, quick to listen, and it totally changed the way I viewed things. Because on it, I'm not gonna lie, man, I was very egocentric and
sure.
Just felt like, yeah, but I'm doing all these great things. I work in TV and I work in radio and my life is so awesome. Everyone must want to know about what's going on in my world. And it's shown in social media because we're truly giving these little insights of the best parts of our lives in 140 characters or less because we really want people to know how awesome we are.
Yeah.
when you said that.
What you just described was a spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
That's
taking a few hours to just
you
go, okay, I'm going to enter this
you
space.
Did it, buddy.
And not talk about myself and just listen.
Yeah.
When you said that, I pictured you walking in going, guys, look, I know you're probably expecting me to talk the whole time, but I'm not. I'm going to come in. I'm going to be silent. I'm going to listen. Okay. I've had a really rough day. I got home and Chrissy was like, listen.
45 minutes later, they're like,
so I'm just going to shut up.
Just want you to know I'm purposely shutting up.
And then the mediator goes, well, we need to go.
Yeah.
Thank you all for coming.
We got a question, a phone call. Let's go out to the phone lines. If that's cool, Nathan, we're going to totally...
Sure.
Yeah, let's rock a phone call. Static, hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Brett.
Hey, Brett. How's it going, man?
Hey, not too bad. Not too bad. Hey, listen. So I'm listening to what you guys are talking about. I've got a friend of mine that's talking about or just recently did unplug and shut off of all social media and everything.
Okay.
And one of the things that he said is that it really helps to take any of the time that you would have spent on Facebook, Twitter, anything like that, and take that time and actually spend it in the Word, in praise and worship, doing Bible study and just meditating upon what the Lord has done in your life that day and what He's been teaching you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I personally find that that is such good advice, because there have been several times when I have also needed to take and just unplug for a while.
Yeah. It's a solid point. It's a solid point, because I think a lot of times we will get involved, and thanks, Rats, for the comment. I think we get involved in these things because we want to grow that quick fix. Nate, how often did you just absolutely, when you were trying to quote-unquote replace something or strip down, find yourself replacing it with something else that could potentially be destructive?
Well, I think, in the book, I try to be very candid and honest with it, and there are a number of disciplines that I don't know if failure is the right word, but I didn't reach my goals.
Right.
It took me somewhere different. But that, to me, that's just all part, just another opportunity to learn.
Yeah.
I don't think God, looks at that and waves his finger at us. I think he welcomes us to keep going. And
that's a hard approach to take, because we measure everything by success or failure. And so the idea that you'd set out to do something and then God maybe moved in a different way, to us that would seem like a failure, because we wanted this end result, and when it's something different...
Yeah,
a lot of times we consider it failure when God,
And it's to me, it's an interesting thing to think about too. It's like a lot of times, we're like, yeah, God wants me to do this. God wants me to do this, and we just throw ourselves into it, and we stop and don't look around and see what's happening and see changes that are happening and people that are like just things are happening, but we're like, no, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I know this is what I'm supposed to do, and this is, I guess, the Lord's just doing this and this for me, so I can do this. And then later we get down the road and we're like, maybe I just made a bad call.
Right. Maybe that whole free will thing came into play, and I just totally made a dumb decision.
It happens.
How about this one? I heard this quote a few years back, that God never calls us to a life of hurry and busy. We choose it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's so true.
Well, that's because we want that quick fix. I think about...
We want a king.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in a Christian home, but truly it wasn't until I was in my, 20s that I began that word submission for real, and thought, man, I am still screwing everything up. Maybe this whole going to church and rock and worship and everything, because 6 days a week I was still living like an idiot, and living however I wanted. And so in my 20s, when I truly decided, man, I gotta give this up. That was when it was like, all right, now I got to date the Christian girl.
Yeah.
I got to get rid of all my non-Christian music.
Again, the pendulum swing. Because it's like, no I'm not spending, I'm not going to spend 6 days living in the world and one day at church. I'm going to spend 7 days at church.
Yes. I can only watch movies if Kirk Cameron stars in them.
Yes. I will save Christmas with Kirk Cameron.
It was a terrible decision. It was a bad few months of my life. My movie review skills went out the window.
Out the window.
I'm
good.
But it's true.
That's true. You can totally, and that happens a lot too. That causes a lot of burnout. I know for me, like when, and we've talked about this plenty of times, but when I am constantly immersing myself in activity, whether it be just normal everyday person activity or even what I would call Christian activity, I will burn out so fast because I am not. I'm hurry and worry and busy and all that. I'm just doing it Christian style.
Well, I think that's probably why. Talk a little bit about this, Nathan. Solitude, Simplicity, meditation, these are all things that are spiritual disciplines, and they all give me hives because I think we as a culture, the idea of solitude or meditation or simplicity or just kind of removing things from our lives sounds terrifying, like we're torturing ourselves.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. Okay, so the subtitle of the book is My Journey from Frustration to Joy with the Spiritual Disciplines. And there is, and I don't want to make any bones about it, there's suffering involved.
Yeah.
And but that's okay. Suffering's a fantastic teacher. But so doing the disciplines, there are times where there's suffering involved. But ultimately, it's the end result, joy.
Yeah.
And the habits we develop are the fruits of the Spirit. So we find ourselves able to be more patient and kind, loving.
Yeah.
Joy's where this is going to take us. And sometimes that means we suffer a little, but that's okay.
It's funny because, you know, it is the Christmas season this week, this coming Sunday, third week of Advent, which in fact is joy.
Joy!
There we go.
And it's something that is difficult for us because we don't think of it as a choice or as an attitude. We think of joy as like this emotion, as if when we give our life to Jesus, we're just going to be filled with joy and we're happy all the time and everything's magical and rainbows and unicorns, and which doesn't sound magical to me because I'm a dude and I have all boys. And I
sounds like, magical
I
to me.
Punch myself in the face.
I love
that.
Unicorns every day.
Well, here's the one I wrote. So the last chapter's on celebration. And I'm like, this is for, like, Santa and emasculated men or so. I just can't. So I think part of it's just redefining it. Joy's not about, it's not happiness. It's not good feelings. It's this deep-seated sense of God's goodness.
Mm.
And in the midst of the chaos and suffering and pain of the world, it's not a plastic smile.
Right.
But it's kind of deep knowing that all is well.
Yeah.
All is well, and all shall be as well, as Julian and Norwich would say. Mm. It's not about silliness and, you know, smiles and whatnot.
Which is unfortunate, because there's this guy in Houston who is peddling that, and I'm just kidding.
Well, I take it. I mean, I'm all for being, you know, smiley and whatnot.
It's when it's
good,
smile, man.
But,
when it's authentic, when it's authentic. Genuine. And I'm not saying that pastors that say, you know, like the Joel Osteens of the world, I'm not saying that they're disingenuous. It's just, I think sometimes we can set ourselves up for failure because it does work. Emotions do last for a time, but once that happy emotion runs out and you're feeling tired or depressed or sad or whatever it is, angry, frustrated, then that quote unquote didn't work. That version of Jesus, if you will, or Christianity didn't work. So I guess Jesus just failed me, when really we're kind of creating our own false version of it. And it had nothing to do with Jesus to begin with. It was your version of it. So you're still kind of playing God because you're picking. So,
yeah, that's good. Well, it's just not sustainable and it's not realistic to life at all. And so we're set up to fail. But the part that concerns me is then, when that doesn't happen, what oftentimes is people blame themselves. Mm. I must not be doing something right.
Right.
You know, God doesn't like me. And then we'll either fake it and pretend that it did work, or just live with this kind of sense of, this is just not for me, and walk away from it. Mm. We gotta be honest with this stuff. I mean, the Christian life is painful, and there's a lot of, I mean, there's a goodness to it, but sometimes it makes life worse.
Now, how to say, you know, to somebody listening right now who's like, dude, I am in that pit of suck as we speak, wanting to quote unquote climb out or claw their way out or just do something, and of course looking for the 40 days to a better me type thing. What would you say to them, especially with that celebration discipline, trying to be joy-filled and content, if you will, in that situation? How does a human being go about doing that?
Oh, man, that's a tough one, and I can't give you a soundbite answer.
No,
to it,
I need it now! I'm just kidding.
I'll try.
He's talking about himself.
I'm talking about me!
Well, I mean, I think the first place to start is that God's in the mess.
Yeah.
He's in the chaos, he's in the darkness, and in fact, he's probably, you know, in his absence or in the suffering, and that's one of the best places for us to be available to God. So I wouldn't judge it as good or bad.
Yeah.
And we'd be honest with it. I mean, you can get real practical, and sometimes just, you know, gratitude, and I mean, sometimes there are things we can do that can help kind of pull us out. But I think maybe the first thing is not to be afraid of it. And the darkness, however we want to define that, it could very likely be a movement of God. He may be taking us to some of those places in his goodness and love for us. But in our culture, what we're afraid to death of suffering, we're afraid of boredom, afraid of anything that, you know, feels unpleasant, when really those may be the best things for the growth of our soul. In a good way, in a loving way, not a, you know, let me just punish you or make you hurt.
Man, I think a lot of times we worry about that. Man, the deeper I go with God, it seems like the harder my life gets. God's just punishing me. He just wants me to suffer for my growth, and I'm supposed to consider it joy. And you think of this guy upstairs who's just kind of like waiting, all right, how can I make this guy suffer? Which is totally inaccurate as well.
Totally. I mean, that is like the absolute opposite of the truth. Okay, this is a good point. The spiritual disciplines, all these activities, in my mind, they're best practiced out of an active response to God's love. And in my opinion, most Christians, I don't think they know they're loved, really loved.
Right.
All this stuff of identity, worth, value, looking for other people to affirm us, this is all reflective of a lack of knowing how crazy in love God is with us as we are right here, right now, not as we should be or want to be, but as we are. So if I enter into the disciplines in that space, then when I enter into suffering, I'm right there, and I feel God's tears with me. And I don't, you know, this idea that he's punishing me or, you know, wanting to kind of get me, that's me. That's my own self-hatred that goes that place. God's open wound of love, ready to receive us.
It goes right back to the very beginning of our conversation and the idea of confession and some of these disciplines that the church or leaders have used to oppress, because when you think of some of them, like confession, you think this idea of fear. It's fear-based. Well, I grew up in a system, you know, where I got to confess my sins. If I'm driving in a car and I swerve off the road and I'm going over a bridge and I drop the F-bomb and I don't confess it before I hit the ground, I am going straight to hell and I will burn eternally because I did not confess that. And that fear-based God is upstairs going, oh, what an idiot. I can't believe you. Sorry, bro. I know you love me.
You were doing good. You're doing great. Right there.
That moment, you could have said any other word, but sorry, bro. Yeah,
you chose that one, so your heart is horrible.
Enjoy the basement, and you're living there forever. You know, and it's like, whoa, no! And it's this fear, almost like this fear-mongering that has happened with the church, where it's become oppressive. And so I love that. The journey from frustration to joy with the spiritual disciplines, because the idea of somebody finding joy in confession and solitude and submission, and man, all of these spiritual disciplines, it's like, oh, what are you, a sadist? You masochist? What do you just love being sadist?
Well, I mean, a good place to start is thinking that God is practical, he's intelligent, he knows what he's doing,
right?
And these kind of things that he calls us to do, really, he knows these are good for us.
Yeah.
And for confession, I don't think we're capable as human beings of holding regrets and resentments. And I think he knows that, right, that we need to confess these things in order to live a free life.
Yeah.
But it goes back to that. If my view of God is this kind of angry, distant Santa Claus ready to punish me or something, then that's going to affect everything.
Right, right. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. Yeah, there you go. Man, I hate that we are out of time, because this has been one of my favorite shows in a long time.
Right on.
Nathan Foster, author of The Making of an Ordinary Saint. Dude, you have to come back and hang out with us again.
I'd love to. Good stuff.
So many emails and comments of people saying, bro, this guy's legit. And so, we'd love to have you back. Thank you so much. Where can people go to find more information about you?
Yeah, I've got a website, NathanFosterProjects.com.
Perfect. Sweet. All right. We will link it to our Facebook page as well, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Again, dude, thank you so, so very much for hanging out with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
See you on, man. All right. All right. That is it for us. We are out. Coming up next, Middays with Mitch. It is Thursday, so some Trivia Thursday. We got some stuff to give away a little later on her show. But, dude, if you miss any part of this show, download the podcast. It's free. MyStaticRadio.com/TheologyThursday. That was freaking awesome.
That was fun.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Friday, and then begins the journey of the weekend, preparing for Christmas and all of those great things. Don't forget, it is week 3 of Advent coming up this weekend. Joy. And you can discover
it. You can do it.
Right where you're at.
You can do it.
That was awesome, dude.
That was
fun. I can't wait to finish this book. So good. All right. We'll see you guys again mañana. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.